and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Hello, Chicago.
WGN Radio's Pete McMurray.
Well, well, here we are. I want to congratulate you for being on time.
Ready, BTR 1 and 2. Ready on camera 1 with key.
3.
All right, and announcement. Get ready.
1.
And cue them. And go.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
All right, it's always great to be back at the world's largest auto show. I'm not quite sure if that's correct, but it's one of the largest.
Absolutely, the nation's largest auto show.
The United States of America. It's Pete McMurray. We're right next to the Chevy display. If you're heading out to the auto show, just look for Chevy and then look for a big stage, and you can see my big nose on stage. Joining us from the Chicago Auto Show is Mark Bielek. It's great to see you.
Great to be here.
First of all, every day. Sometimes going to McCormick Place is overwhelming for people. I just want to let them know your people are doing such a great job. All you have to do is put in your app, in your Maps app, okay, parking garage A, B, C, or D, and you get in the parking garage and your people tell you exactly where to go.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're blessed with McCormick Place. There's no exhibit center like this in the country. And there's more than 5,000 parking spaces here. Soldier Field is providing space. And on the weekends, Millennium Park is available.
Okay.
And so there's lots of opportunities to park. And we've shuttle free from Millennium. So literally, you don't even have to go outside if you want to park in Millennium. But at the same time, we're really, really lucky to get the CTA and Metro to partner with us as well.
Right.
So there's buses running nonstop from Ogilvie and Union Station. And then Metro has added extra trains this weekend, as well as they're actually running discounted fares to if you come through McCormick Place. So,
oh, fantastic! Just,
yeah, it's really great to have partners like that to try and get people here, because yeah, there's a lot of people coming from the collar counties and want to get to the show, and maybe they're not real familiar with Chicago and where to go and where to park. So
if you're coming in from the suburbs, 90% is parking.
That's
90% coming downtown is parking. And once you get that down, everything's gravy. Yeah,
absolutely.
And McCormick Place, how big is this sucker?
So total, they have about 2.6 million square feet.
Okay.
So unbelievable. We use about 1,100,000 square feet. So
it's crazy.
We're the nation's largest show. Yep.
I mean, you guys use everything. You got a Starbucks over here. You got ribs. You have pizza. You have just about every single restaurant in the city.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the cars and the displays and the interactive displays. They're fantastic.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about Chicago, with so much space, the manufacturers can really put their best foot forward. I mean, we've got 4 indoor test tracks with Jeep, Ram, Volkswagen, and then Toyota. And then we've got 3 outdoor test drives. And then also just all the interactive cool things that they bring to make the show more enjoyable for families. I mean, obviously, it's a great show if you're shopping, but it's just also a great opportunity to get out of the house and, you know, in February and have some good time.
The largest auto show in North America.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that we were able to do because of McCormick Place, but also really what sets us apart are the test tracks. I mean, that's unique. We're pretty much the only show that has multiple.
Explain to people what that is, because I've been on the test tracks. Explain to people that have never been to the auto show what that means.
Yeah, so, you know, Jeep has been here for 15 years with Camp Jeep, and literally you get on, you get in the line, you get into a Jeep, and then they take you off-roading.
Right.
And it's challenging off-roading. Volkswagen has an off-road track. Rams is kind of like a truck territory, so you learn about payload and towing and hauling and all of the different things that the Ram trucks are very capable of. And then the Toyota track is more like an urban, understand your vehicle kind of thing, where you learn about the safety systems in the vehicle, you learn about the parking aids and things like that. Because a lot of people, they may own a 5 or 6 year old car, has none of those features, and all of these things are now available on just about every car. And so that's a really neat way to demonstrate the safety and technology features that are in today's cars.
Isn't that crazy how cars have changed?
Absolutely.
When we were kids. I mean, just a parallel park, to have a screen behind you that comes up on your dashboard.
I mean,
I feel like that's cheating, because my
It is.
When I'm in my wife's car, she's got a huge screen, and I'm like, Sarah, just, you know, let's try not to look at the screen. She's like, it guides me. I know exactly where to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that old. My first car had roll-up windows, no air conditioning.
Yes.
It had the vent window things, in the front. Who remembers the vent windows?
Oh, yeah,
the vent
windows.
You know, my kids, they're driving now, and they actually, one of my cars doesn't have a screen. And they got into it, and we don't like driving that because we can't see what's behind us.
They're slumming it without a screen in
your
car.
That's right.
It's just crazy. And now cars nowadays, they have Wi-Fi. Yeah, it's like all these Chevys that are in front of us have Wi-Fi in them.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big feature where when I take road trips, my kids will log into the Wi-Fi, and then that way they don't have to, you know, use their cell phones. They can use the bigger screens, and it's nicer. Their laptops, they can use their laptops while we're, you know, driving through Indiana or Iowa where there's not a whole lot to see.
You know what? What happened to conversation in cars?
I don't know.
Remember, you used to be able to talk, or you'd have
games,
to read a book.
The license plate game.
Right, the license plate game, the alphabet game. Mark Bielek is here from the Chicago Auto Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to run through some of the where you can find us, first of all, and some of the huge, like the muscle cars and things like that. Quick break, live from the Auto Show at 720 WGN. For news at 10, watch WGN's Micah Mazzara, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own 720, I'm sorry, Chicago's very own WGN, not 720, Channel 9, that's what we're talking about. It's Pete McMurray, we're live at the Auto Show. I do want to mention we're going to talk to Billy Bush, who's going to be on the red carpet. He's going to be on at 2:30 today. James McCann, catcher for the White Sox, will join us at 3:15. And Sammy Hagar is coming to town with his band. He'll be on the phone at 4:15 today. But we're at the Chicago Auto Show. We're talking to Mark Bielek. And I want to ask, first of all, first look for charity Friday night. I missed it this year, which was a huge bummer because I've made it the last five. And it's one of my favorite events. How much did you raise?
Yeah, so we were able to collect $2.8 million for 18 local charities.
$2.8 million in one night.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a great, great event. And the charities keep all of that money. You know, they sell the tickets. We provide the food and the beverages in partnership with a whole lot of restaurants in the area. And it's just a great way to see the show. A little less people than there are right now. And so it's a little easier to get into the cars and such.
And it's black tie optional, right?
No, it's black tie. It's black tie required.
But the types of food that you have
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's every type of cuisine you could think.
Right.
And they're all portable, like, bite-sized things. So, like mini pulled pork sandwiches.
You can walk around.
There's sushi, and there's all sorts of different things. You know, it's just ethnic food everywhere, just like Chicago. I mean, it's kind of like everything you could get in Chicago and all in one spot. Yeah.
And did Cadillac hand out the slippers?
They did. And yeah, that's boy, were they a hot. And actually, they stepped it up this year. They were really pretty nice slippers that you wouldn't mind wearing around the house.
Joe Ahern, he is the president of the 100 Club of Chicago, and I've known Joe for years. Joe walks around. He doesn't even wear shoes to this event. He walks around in slippers.
Yeah,
was he wearing slippers on Friday?
It is funny to see the guys wearing the slippers, too, but a lot of guys rent shoes with their tux, right?
Yeah.
And those shoes might not fit so good, so you're looking just like the ladies to swap out.
If we could give people advice, if they're coming to the Auto Show this week, comfortable shoes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a million square feet. Well, the guy I work here every day, I'll easily do 15,000 steps a day. Easy.
That's impressive.
Just inside the building. Yep.
What about people if, you know, a husband's coming or a wife's coming or someone's coming with their family, they're not too interested in cars. There's other things here.
Yeah, absolutely. There's all sorts of cool things to do. Special days. We've got coming up on Monday is sports day, so there's all the sports teams are here with their kind of activations. Tuesday is Women's Day. Friday is Hispanic Heritage Day, and then the closing President's Day Monday is Family Day. So again, all those days will have special things going on, but interactive. I mean, Subaru, if you just go to the Subaru display, it's a national park. It's literally you walk in to like a theater, and all around you, it's like an IMAX experience, but with sight and sound and touch. So there's snow in there, there's fragrance, and it's just amazing. Every 15 minutes or so, it goes through its cycle. You can adopt a pet. You want a puppy? Come on down to the show. Pet adoptions every day. You can donate blood. You want to donate blood at the show? It's the biggest fundraising, blood-raising event in the country. Chicago Auto Show. So it's an amazing opportunity and just all sorts of cool old car exhibits, too.
It's just not, you're just not walking up to cars and looking at cars.
No.
I mean, it's an interactive event.
And, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Auto Show Fudge. The Ribas Fudge is here. Everybody comes down, they get their fudge.
Did I miss that? Where was it? I walked around before we went on the air.
Well, there's a stand right in front of us here.
Oh, there it is.
Right over
there. My gosh.
But there's
about 10
stands, and it's really kind of an auto show tradition. People come get their fudge at the auto show. I don't get it, but I actually love it. It tastes great.
How many car manufacturers here? Are all of them here?
So almost all of them. A few aren't. A few chose not to participate. Mercedes and BMW, most notably. But just about all of them are here. And, what makes it unique is that we have so much space that not only can they bring the cars, but they can bring cool interactive things to do. Driving simulators, green screens. You can go over to Volkswagen and you can do like a little rock band thing and they take pictures of you.
I saw the Fender Band.
Yeah, the Fender Band. All sorts of cool things like that where you just walk up and there's one thing where you can walk up and it actually superimposes different superheroes onto you in front of a camera. So you can be Superman or you can be Wonder Woman. You can be a stormtrooper.
Guys come up
cool
with this.
Stuff. I don't do it. They do it. The manufacturers bring it.
You get together in March and say, okay, we got to get some really cool stuff for next year. You can't keep topping yourself every single year.
But, you know, with technology, things do get
cooler and cooler.
Some of the simulators in Ford are $500,000. They're full motion, up in the air. You feel like you're really driving a car.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like a video game.
Yep.
It is. Tell me about the indoor test track and the outdoor test track.
So, yeah, there's two kinds of tracks. So, indoors, you go for a ride.
Yep.
And that's Volkswagen, Toyota, Jeep, and Ram.
And by the way, I went on the Jeep display last year. I got here a little bit late. And they take you through, like you said, an obstacle course.
Right.
But you go up big hills, and the Jeep is almost turned sideways. And they have a driver in there.
Yeah.
So
and
you
he's
don't
a
have
professional,
to
and he goes a lot faster than you would. So it makes it a little more fun.
Yes.
But I'll give you a tip on the Jeep track. The Wranglers are so capable that it's almost like a Sunday drive. But if you go in a Cherokee or one of the other Jeep vehicles, they're really, I mean, they struggle. It's a very, very difficult course.
Okay.
And they still can make it through, but it's scarier. It's like, wait, this is, the thing's tipping over and you feel crazy. But it's just the Wrangler's so capable, it makes it look easy.
Right.
So if you get the chance to ride both, it's kind of a neat thing. But then outside, Honda, Subaru, and Ford have test drive opportunities so you can go sign up. And you can actually drive those vehicles, you know, around the city here and get a feel for what they're like to be on the road.
So you can walk out of McCormick Place and hop in a car and test drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. I like that. The muscle cars, we have some Chevy muscle cars to our left. I mean, this Camaro is just fantastic.
But, you know, the star of the show, there's probably three of them in my mind. You've got the Corvette, of course, first mid-engine.
There's probably
C8.
400 people around the Corvette.
Oh, easily.
Sneak to the back side, and I popped in, and it's just... What color is that blue, would you say?
I don't know, but the blue is amazing. But there's an orange convertible as well that you can't see from here, but it's up in the front. And then Jaguar did their new F-Type sports car, which is just amazing. And then, of course, the Ford Mustang Mach-E, the first electric vehicle, really, from Ford.
Right.
Very, very cool. But at the same time, it's a four-door car that you and I can buy, and it'll start out at about $40,000. So it's not really that expensive, especially if you get the tax incentive, which is about $7,000. So. Yep.
And if you're wondering about electric cars, they do explain it out here.
Yeah,
they have people that can dumb it down for people like me
and explain how long it takes to charge.
Right.
Kind of reduce that range anxiety. You know, which you're like, well, how long am I going to take charge? Can I make it from here to Indianapolis? That kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
People think about that all the time.
Absolutely.
What is the supercar area?
Yeah. So that's arguably the most in demand exhibit at our show. Lamborghini, Ferrari, Rolls Royce. Bentley, Maserati, you know, you go after Lotus, Aston Martin, Rolls Royce. I mean, it's just all the cars that you wish you could buy if you had the money. But in Chicago, we really don't get to see those cars very often because they only come out in the summer.
Right.
And, you know, if you grew up in L.A. or somewhere on the West Coast, they're a lot more common to see those cars because movie stars and actors, and they're all driving them. But in Chicago, you know, we're working men here, so we buy Fords and Chevys. But, you know, so it's nice to see those cars, and it's just cool to get pictures with them.
Who brings those over? Is that Pirillo,
so Joe? There's various dealers that bring them. So that's our only dealer display. Every other display in the show is manufacturers, so, you know, Ford's or Toyota's manufacturer display. And then we have some really, really cool old cars. Claremont Collection is out with...
I don't even know what that is.
So it's a collection of cars, a museum that you can actually go on the north side of Chicago, and all sorts of cool cars that you've never even heard of, a lot of European cars, a lot of small cars from Asia even, like old cars, 50-year-old cars, stuff that you've never heard of. And then there's every generation of Corvette here. The Windy City Corvettes is here. Toyota's got some cool off-road vehicles, all sorts of cool things to see if you're into kind of older cars as well.
What was your beater growing up?
My beater? I had a Buick LeSabre. I could fit about five of my friends in the trunk.
You can't be cool in a Buick LeSabre, can you?
Well,
as a teenager?
You can say that because you can be cool in some Buicks now. There's some
Buicks. They are. They're cool. But back in the day.
Right. Yeah, that was rough.
I had the station wagon with the paneling on the
side.
Did
you really?
Oh, it was terrible.
Was it peeling off, too? Was some of the paneling peeling off?
It wasn't peeling off, but when you're number six out of 12 kids...
Yeah. It's been
think
used.
About how
it's
beat
been
it
used
up
and abused.
I mean, dings here, yeah. crashes here, and that was back in the day where they give you the money, the insurance company, and instead of fixing the car, you know what? Yeah. We're going to go out and buy milk for the
That's
family.
That's right.
It's okay. We can have some bumps and bruises on the car.
That's okay.
Give me your hours.
So every day we open at 10 a.m. Okay. and we close at 10 p.m., except for the last day when we close at 8. I would say, hey, everybody go to ChicagoAutoShow.com and check out all the information.
I have it up in front of me. You guys have everything.
Yeah. And then if they're come to the show, download the app on either Android or iOS because that can be your virtual tour guide to the show. And you can get a $3 discount on an adult ticket through the app.
You're kidding.
Yep. We're happy to have people come. That's what we want. We want people here. We want them enjoying everything that has to do with the cars.
What do you look forward to every year?
My coolest thing, I think, is to watch every morning at 10 a.m. when the little kids come in, the little toddlers, where they're just barely walking, and then they see the displays and they see the cars and their eyes just get wide, and it's like, wow. I mean, and you can just see them begin to appreciate cars for more than transportation.
Sure.
You know, and it's kind of fun to see that.
I was going from display to display, and it's fun to see a dad with his son because, you know, we all have, when we see a car, it reminds us, it's a memory there.
Right.
So
right.
when the There's dad's memories. Talking about the Corvette, and this is, you know, this is the guy across the street had this Corvette.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing we see with the collector cars is guys and or just older people with younger people, and they're saying, hey, I had that car when I was a kid.
Right.
And then you look at it, and you're like, wow, we really drove around in that? I mean, you think about how safe cars are and how substantial they are today, and then you look at some of these old cars, and you're like, wow, that was not safe. That was just not
No, not at all.
Be.
Remember the seat belts that just went over your waist?
Yeah, you're sleeping on the, you know, on the parcel shelf in the back. That was okay. Now
everybody's freaked out.
That's right.
I remember my dad used to pull up with my mother after she had a baby, and she'd be holding the baby in her lap.
Yeah.
You know, not a big deal. No car seat, nothing.
Nope.
I don't even think she wore a seatbelt on the way home. She was so excited
And she
to show
was probably
everybody.
Smoking a cigarette, too.
No, she wasn't. That was the only thing. She was not smoking a cigarette. How many cars on the floor?
So just under 1,000.
How long does it take to get all these cars in here?
That's a really good question. We're really lucky here. The crew here at McCormick Place does a great, great job. It takes about 10 days.
10 days.
Yeah. No, I don't think they could build a show this big anywhere else in the country. Our labor is great here at McCormick Place.
I know today is the second day open to the public, but your staff is so helpful and so calm helping out people. Seriously.
Well, we've all been doing it. I mean, I've been doing it 14 years, and I'm one of the new guys. So.
Right.
So we've all seen it and done it before.
ChicagoAutoShow.com has all the information, or download the app. Everybody's got their phone in their hand. Mark Bielek, thanks for coming around.
All right, thanks
Great
for having
to see
me.
You. And tell Dave we said hello.
I will.
All right, quick break. More from the Auto Show coming up next at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's Pete McMurray live from the Auto Show. We're right next to the Chevy display. If you're coming out to the Auto Show today, stop by the booth, say hello, we'll get some pictures. Also looking for some text messages, 312-981-7200. I have the screen on in front of me. Tell us about your cars growing up, most miles on your car. Did you have a beater? We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. We had an old car where the floorboards were rusted out. And you could see the road as you were driving. I'm not making this up. They rusted out. And my dad came up with the idea. What if we get a piece of plywood and just put it over that in the car? We can have the car for a few more years. Okay. That's when you if it rusted out, you just had to live with it. Tomorrow, at the Union League Club of Chicago, it's 65 West Jackson at 11:30. Republican leader Jim Durkin will be the featured guest. You can go to lincolnforum.org for all the information. Let's bring in the Republican leader, Jim Durkin, now. Jim, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Pete. Good afternoon. I hope you're enjoying yourself. And I did have a beater car. I have seven brothers. We were all between 6 feet and 6 foot five, anywhere from 200 to 300 pounds. And we shared a four-seat Vega.
And, no, you didn't.
Floorboards were gone, and it was like when they drove the car, it was like Fred Flintstone driving his car back in the show with the feet were helping the engine. So, anyway, good to hear from you, Pete.
Well, Jim, what was it with the old cars, with the Vegas? We had a Pontiac Le Mans. I think my dad bought it used back in the day, but the floorboards would always rust. You'd think they'd figure that out.
You think they figure it out, but the fact is, I think they knew that when it rusted, you had to get a new car. So maybe that was a conspiracy with the auto industry. So, it was a different generation back then, and parents spent more money on us than they should have. But Everything went towards education and our well-being. So our parents were, our generation was spectacular.
Isn't that so true? I mean, and things haven't changed. I mean, people care about education. They want to get their kids a great education.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely so.
Yeah.
Did I see that former Senate President John Cullerton will be moderating the lunch tomorrow?
Yes. And I'm looking forward to this. This is a group that started within the last year. Eric Edelstein, who's a very prominent Democrat strategist, and Pat Brady, who's a very close friend of mine, is also a Republican strategist, that put together this group called the Lincoln Forum. You know, you have the City Club of Chicago, but the Lincoln Forum is kind of the counterpart, but it's a new group that's going to allow for public policy makers to come in and present their ideas and have an open discussion. So I think tomorrow will be interesting, and I'm really, really pleased that John Cullerton will be the moderator. It's more of just John and I will be going back and forth, and you know, John, obviously, many of us all know that John retired from the state Senate, but I've had a very good relationship with him for many years, and particularly over the last 3 or 4 years between under Governor Rauner and also with Governor Pritzker. So I'm
right.
Looking forward to talking to John.
It's interesting. You mentioned Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein because they used to be on our radio station all the time. And I always said to them, guys, I love the fact that you can disagree but still get along. How do we see more of that in Springfield and in Washington with two different parties?
Well, you know what? I think, you know, you learn from history. And you know what? I went through some rough times with Governor Rauner during the budget impasse. And I, you know, it was a lot of personalities, a lot of emotion, but the state went backwards because we were not able to accomplish things. We can be, you know, we're all partisans. I want to win seats.
Right.
I'd love to be the speaker someday, but I can't let the state of Illinois, you know, slow down or be put on the side. So I think it's just an attitude of leadership. I'm committed towards that. And
right.
I will say this. I disagree with Governor Pritzker on a lot of issues, but he's been very open with me on a lot of initiatives. And we solved the budget last year in a bipartisan manner. So I think we just learned from history that, you know what, when we're in the dome and we're under the roof, let's get the business done that we're elected to do. And that means working on a budget, trying to make things more, you know, better for our economic climate, put more people to work, make sure that our streets are safe, do more for public safety, and
right.
make an investment, continue to make investments in education that are responsible and fair. I mean, that's what we should be doing, but we shouldn't let the partisan politics get into everything we do down in Springfield. And I'm afraid that I still see it to a certain extent.
Right.
But, you know, there's some people that are ready to move on from that, and I'm one of them.
Well, I feel like people have to dig in their heels nowadays and not have conversation. It's like, just talk it out. I mean, we can all have different views. Just have a little bit of conversation, and maybe something will happen from it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I'll say this, that, you know, a few weeks ago, Governor Pritzker came up to my office. It was my birthday, and I said, "Come on up. Let's have a drink." And he came up. You know, I was really, really pleased with that. And it's more than that. We talk every week or so. We'll just chat about where we're at on certain issues. And one of the promises that I made Governor Pritzker, that after he was elected, I said, "I want you to know that I'm going to be straight up with you." And that I will tell you in advance of whether or not I can help you or I'm not going to help you on a particular issue. So
right.
I don't want you to be caught off guard or, you know, because I don't think that's the right way to go about things right now. The public wants to see us working together. And, you know, my constituency, sure, they want to see Republicans gain seats. I do
right.
too. But by and large, everybody wants us to just put the politics aside for a little bit.
Especially in this state, we need help.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we do need help. So, you know what? So tomorrow is going to be, I think it will be a good, free, flowing dialogue between President Cullerton, myself, and some members from the audience. It's going to be a great event. Pat Brady's promised a beautiful lunch. I believe it's a 10-course luncheon with wine pairing, some Burgundy region in Napa Valley. So it's spectacular. Yes, he's making it going to be a really good event. So I would encourage everyone to participate. He's the finest of chefs that he's flown in. So Pat's just going above and beyond in this one.
Brady does it right. We're talking with Republican leader Jim Durkin. You mentioned Governor Pritzker. I try to have the governor on once a quarter. We're about due for him, and you've been on the show many times. You're both very likable people. I love the fact that you said that he came into the office and had a drink. I don't know why that's so hard for people to figure out.
You know, I said that, and, I think of Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill. Now,
right.
I don't hope that I don't look like Tip at this stage of my life, but you know what? I think that's kind of like people talk about it. It's anecdotal. But the thing is, you know what? You can settle a lot of the problems by just having a discussion with somebody. Just having let's step outside the building. Let's go to someone's office and let's not have staff in there writing down every word that is said or people hovering over you. It's just he and I. And we just talked. We went through a couple issues, but we also talked about just our families. And, you know, it was very refreshing. And I was, it was nice, particularly in the environment that we have in this Capitol where there's, a lot, it's very tense. There's a lot of issues going on regarding the federal government, meaning the U.S. Attorney, the FBI. And you've got to be able to have a moment where you can just have a civil discussion with a leader from the opposite party and just focus in on how are we going to get through the next 2 months? How are we going to move towards, a budget? And, I want to be part of the budget process. But that I also told the governor that if you want our support, you need to be able to accept priorities of my caucus, Republicans. We've got good ideas.
Yep. Yep.
But we're not afraid to take tough votes either. But respect our priorities, and, you'll have a willing partner in me and members of my caucus. And, I think that's a really good recipe and also a way for us to put Illinois back on track because, Pete, this is a great state. It's an amazing state. I just don't want to lose any more people. I don't want to lose our kids. I want to make sure that jobs are going to stay here and we're going to, be a beacon for economic development and for, there's so many great things about this city and the state. I just hate to, I really get disgusted when I hear people talk about Illinois at the bottom of this list and that list. But you know what? People still come here. They spend money because there's so much to offer in this state. They visit. Our kids still go to school here, and they still thrive. And they'll still find great jobs. But we have to continue with that. We can't allow this narrative that some people, the usual naysayers, have about Illinois because of city council or Springfield.
Right. I grew up in Peoria, went to school in Peoria. My mother and half my family still lives in Peoria. I moved to Rockford. I have a soft spot in my heart for Rockford because when things are down nationally, you can triple that for Rockford, which needs a lot of help. And I was so happy that they got the casino, the Hard Rock Casino in Rockford.
I think it's great.
Well, don't you feel like most people in the state, I mean, everything in life is about negotiation. Don't you feel like most people in the state are moderates, or am I just imagining that? Because I know people from the left are loud, people from the right are loud, but most are in the middle.
I agree with you. It is a silent majority, but when I said earlier people want us to do our work, that's the people who are that great majority. And, whether they're Democrat, Republicans, or independents, those are the majority of Illinois citizens who are electing people. They want to see progress. And, I've got carnival barkers in my caucus. I got one, and there's some on the Democrat side who only reason for existence is to complain and to just cause disruption. I'm past that. And we are, and that's been the politics of the past. And, it's, maybe it'll continue, but I'm not going to let it interfere with what I think is my ultimate responsibility. That is to ensure that we have a good budget that protects Illinoisans and we serve the purposes of and all the needs of people who need help from the state. That includes our education, low-income families who need help from the state, people who are seniors, veterans. I mean, the list goes on. We have a responsibility towards them. A responsibility is not towards the RNC or the DNC. It's towards these people who are struggling and people who need assistance. And that's what our job is.
We're talking with Republican leader Jim Durkin. By the way, did you say carnival barkers? I love that term. Barkers, I just wrote it down.
Yes. they still exist. They're down there. And I think I'll avoid making a mention of who or whom they are, but they're down there, but their voices get drowned after a certain amount of time. But some people from the press like to give them a little bit of play because that's how you sell news and that's how you sell papers, and, you know, that's life. But, you know, I'm a big boy, and I can drown that stuff out.
My cousin is Ray LaHood, as you know, and Cousin Ray used to come over to the house all the time, and I watched him, you know, from a congressman to Peoria to move up and work. You know, he was a Republican, but he was more towards the middle, and he was friends with Rahm Emanuel, who was a congressman up here in Chicago. And then, of course, Obama gets elected and names chief of staff Rahm Emanuel. Who does Rahm call up on the Republican Party? He calls up Ray LaHood. So,
yeah.
Again,
why not?
What's the end game here? We want to make the state great. Why can't we work together?
Well, exactly. And you know what? But I will say that the politics that we have right now are more driven by the parties and not the overall philosophy of how we're going to make Illinois a better state. And you know what? The politics is, you know, like I said earlier, I may mention the RNC and the DNC. I mean, these organizations, and you know, I think it's their role is to win seats and to control.
Right.
I get it. Absolutely get it. But that shouldn't control everything we do under the Capitol in Washington or under the dome in Springfield. Everything down in Springfield is driven by power and control. That's the way it's been for a long time, particularly under Speaker Madigan. And, you know, we'll get into that tomorrow. But power and control, and that's how you drive the agenda. And you have, you know, there's so many great ideas that have been bottled up by the Democrats in the House over the years because it could dilute the power and control that they currently have over the process. Never mind the fact that this is good, sound policy, whether it comes to pension reform or if it comes to changing the redistricting process that currently exists in Illinois. Those are great ideas that I know that the public wants to see more discussion and actually see those ideas become part of our the laws of Illinois. Those are major issues that need to be resolved, but they don't go anywhere. And I think, by and large, the public is like, would demand that we, probably 90%, we need to do more. We have to fix our pension systems. The state is going to get swallowed up. We need to do a better job on how we reapportion legislative and congressional seats.
I'm gonna take a break. I'm going to ask you about all of that. I'm going to ask you about ethics reform. I'm going to ask you about the preview of the session, fair maps, and we'll talk about pension. But before... I got about 1 minute before we go into a break. What's your workaround with Mike Madigan? How do you get around all of that and do your job to try to push things forward for the state and work with the governor?
Well, you know, the speakers, you know, I in contrast to John Cullerton, I talked to John a lot. John and I would actually, for lack of a better term, work and cut some deals on some important issues for him, but I was able to get things for my caucus accomplished at the same time. Speaker's kind of a man of a few words, and he's a hard guy to predict. He's don't see him a lot during session until we get closer towards the end of session when we get into the negotiations. And so the question is, how do you get around him? It's not easy, and I'm still trying to figure that out.
When you're not talking to someone, you can't move the ball forward, right?
No, we don't speak in tongues either. So you know, it's just a difficult thing. He's got a very firm opinion on how the agendas will play out during the course of a session, and I look at a couple issues that are extremely important for the state. One is pension reform of our public pension systems, our five systems that are drowning in debt. They're over $200 billion in debt, but there's no desire to try to fix them, you know, or do something to improve them.
Hold that thought, Jim, because I got to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more, okay?
You bet. Thank you.
We're talking with Republican leader Jim Durkin. We're live at the auto show. Quick break. We'll be back right after these on 720 WGN. Live at the auto show. We're right next to the Chevy display. When you walk in, just turn and you'll absolutely see us. We're right next to ABC 7, too. Boy, that's a good-looking crew, that TV crew. On the phone with us, Republican leader Jim Durkin will be at the Union League Club of Chicago tomorrow. You can go to LincolnForum.org for all the information, and former Senate President John Cullerton will be moderating, and Jim is on the phone with us. I want to talk about pension reform. Jim, how do we chip away at pension reform? How do we do this over time? Because it's got to be little by little by little.
It is, you know, we did one thing this past year with our local pension systems, and you know, it's a good start, in which we consolidated the investments and professional management of the local pension systems for police and fire. So 400 systems, that's a good start. And basically what it does, it takes a lot of the overhead away from the costs that are currently being borne by local governments. But that's fine. The bigger problem we have are the five major pension systems that the state of Illinois has oversight: state employee retirement system, judicial retirement system, state university retirement system, teachers' retirement system. Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, those systems collectively have over $200 billion of unfunded liability, and it keeps growing and growing by the year. 7 years ago, we took a shot at, under Governor Quinn, passed a pension bill, and it was rejected by the Supreme Court. Just because the courts have said no for that particular legislation, I don't know why we do not go back and make another run at the courts.
Right.
I believe that we can still do that, and there are brighter minds than me out there who can, and we've talked about a couple issues over the past few years that John Cullerton has put together regarding this consideration model, but the only other way in which that can happen is if we change the Constitution. The Constitution to state that this whole issue of how it currently protects the annuitants and the terms of the pensions can't be changed. That's the only other way to do it.
It's got to change if we're going to get better.
Well, we do, but the thing is, we got to take a shot at it. I mean, getting it passed right now, getting a pension constitutional amendment passed right now, is impossible because the Democrats will not allow that to happen because their supporters, which are the public sector unions, do not, AFL-CIO, do not want to see one change in the pension systems. They're not willing to negotiate. So I'm of the position that let's take another shot at the courts. Let's put together another bill. And I'd like to try to do that this session. And I've had discussions with a number of people about revisiting pension reform, but I just don't know how we can pay these systems. And you know, I don't think we have an option to declare bankruptcy on these systems.
Right.
But at some point, unless we make a change in our pension systems, these systems will ultimately be bankrupt. And the people who are objecting to the reforms on saving the systems are not going to have that defined benefit, that monthly check that will show up upon retirement. So I wish people would have a and, you know, they say, you know, we paid in. I understand it. But the thing called the 3% compounded COLA, this cost has dragged down these systems so much over the past 30 years. And I know that people paid for their pensions. But the 3% compounded COLA is a gift. Nobody earned a 3% compounded COLA. So let's go back and do something right, which is going to save our pension systems for those who are part of it. And that's the current public employees and also the retired public employees. I don't think by just saying that, you know what, you have an obligation, just pay it. Well, we don't have the money to do that. So I want to make sure that they have the ability to receive something which is a relic right now, which is a defined benefit system.
Right.
To ensure that they get their health and they get their monthly check, and I'm all for that. But
you're right.
We cut your nose off to spite your face at the same time, because these systems are going to run out of money at some point, and the state of Illinois I'm not going to let pension payments be the single largest expense in a state budget. and it's getting very close to being one of our single biggest expenses during our annual budget negotiation. This should be a state that puts its money into education and public safety and health care for the needy and the seniors. It shouldn't be towards paying pensions. It should be a pension state.
Those are our main concerns. We could talk about pensions for an hour, especially the COLA thing, which is absolutely ridiculous. But the governor called for ethics reform during the State of the State speech. Where do we start with this? Because I could name, I have a laundry list in front of me. Martin Sandoval, Arreo, Tom Cullerton, Terry Link. There's so many people being indicted or, you know, Sandoval admitted for taking bribes on the red light camera coming. Where do we start with ethics reform in this state?
Well, first of all, we got to throw these bumps out. And there's a lot of bumps still down there. And I'm very serious about that. People who've had their meat hooks into state government for decades. And you know what? It's all coming from one side of the aisle. It's not on the Republican side. So this is what the public needs to understand over this next many months and also next November. Is that allowing the culture that has been created over the past 30 years down in Springfield to continue, this is what happens. So one of the things that Arroyo got himself in trouble for, I mean, this is just crazy. He was lobbying on behalf of a gaming client and went to a sitting state senator who, get this, was in trouble with the U.S. with the federal government, was wearing a wire at the same time. I mean, this is the stuff you can't even cook up in Hollywood.
You can't.
But he was trying to bribe this guy to get a favorable piece of legislation passed for his client. I mean, it's just insane. They think they can get away with it. So, you know, it's something real simple. But there are members of the legislature that do lobby on the side.
Yeah.
It's not right. And I think we can just say that, you know what, let's stop that practice. Stop the practice. I have a bill that bans it. I tried to pass it back in November, and nobody wanted to do it because we wanted to study the issue. I'm like, study?
I hate to cut you off, but we're backed up top of the hour. You're the best. Okay. I love talking to you. And tomorrow people can go to lincolnforum.org, stop by the Union League Club of Chicago Republican leader Jim Durkin. You're the best. Have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot, Pete. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray. We're live at the Auto Show. Coming up at 2:30 today, we'll talk to Billy Bush, the host of Extra on Fox. Billy will be at the Academy Awards on the red carpet. We'll talk to him. Also, James McCann at 3:15 today, the all-star catcher for the Chicago White Sox. Chicago Auto Show. Let's welcome in the owner of Chevy of Homewood and the Chicago Automobile Trade Association Board of Director, Steve Filippos. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for having me. We're having a great time here.
I mean, this is the Super Bowl, isn't it, for car dealers?
For us, it is. You know what? The auto show, this is number one. It's the biggest auto show in the country. In addition to that, in Chicago, it's not just us people seeing cars. It's people coming out having a great time. And you know what? I'm going to tell you a secret. After the auto show, it's spring.
Lost my mic. There it is. Okay, my mic went out for a second. I started laughing because you have such a Chicago accent. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago, right by Midway Airport.
So after the auto show, do you see an uptick in sales?
I sure do. You know what? Okay. People get excited. The winter's almost gone. They look at all these beautiful cars. I'd like to say just Chevrolets, but they look at all the beautiful cars.
Right.
And they come out and they start shopping and going out there and buying some.
We're right next to the Chevy display if people want to come and see us. And the muscle cars. I went straight to the Corvette, and there's about 400 people around the Corvette, but I mean, that is such a beautiful car.
How could you not like the Corvette? You know, the Corvette's been an American icon since I was growing up,
right?
Probably before I was growing up. And this is the all new Corvette. Everything on this car is completely redesigned. It's just unbelievable. The car has the all new LT2 V8 engine. You could see it through the rear hatch.
How fast can it go?
Well, this car is very, very fast. It's 495 horsepower, 470 pounds of torque.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
How about if I just say real fast?
I looked at the Corvettes over the years. It started in 1953. I thought it was older than that, but it seems pretty young in car years.
In car years, it is young. But again, the only word that fits Corvette is icon.
Right.
It's just a matter of how much do you like it.
It's interesting because you look back at your life, you kind of, you know, you at least I do, my visual is cars. When you mention Corvette, I go back to my neighbor. He had the Corvette. It was probably in the 70s that had the super long hood.
Correct.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably a 73 or a 74.
Right. Yeah, right around there.
Yeah.
And we remember those. And I just remember him always waxing his car in his driveway.
How could you not?
His name was Nick. Waxing his Corvette. Yeah.
Every Saturday morning, right? In his shorts.
I mean, if even if you're not a car person, the Corvette in movies, the muscle cars, I mean, it's iconic.
It truly is. It's absolutely beautiful. And this year, it's completely changed. And it's a mid-engine car. And it's, at first, before I drove one, I was almost petrified. I'm thinking, how can we gamble with a car like this? And it's not a gamble. Guess what? It's the car of the year.
I can't imagine what the meetings are like. Okay, we're thinking about changing the Corvette. What do they do? 3 years out, 4 years out to get ready for the rollout?
I'm guessing at least 3 to 4 years. You have engineering, then you have the designers, then you have...
And then you make one, and you're like, nope, we got to tweak it this way before we release it.
Exactly.
Because this is iconic. It's like a Rolex, right? It never loses value.
It doesn't. Everybody wants a Corvette. If they don't want a new one, they want a classic one. I mean, just pick the year or pick the C3, C4, C5,
right.
C6, and everybody likes one specific Corvette.
What would be your decade for Corvettes? Would it be the old ones in the 50s?
Last year, I told my wife, I said, you know what? I would like to buy a Corvette. She goes, well, what are you going to buy? I go, well, you think I want a 57, you know, one of the old ones. And then I was in Pahrump driving these new ones, and I'm thinking, I make the phone call, and I go, you know what? I think I want a new Corvette. So I don't know. Maybe I'll win the lottery, and I'll buy one of each.
You own a Chevy dealership in Homewood. You can have whatever you want.
Well, yes and no. I sell them. I wish I owned them.
Oh, man. I would probably go 70s because it reminds me of my childhood with the long hood because, you know, neighbor Nick was waxing his car.
They are truly beautiful in the 70s. Like a 74, you get the convertible or the T-top. They're just amazing.
Right.
They're
loud. Oh, you got to go T-top.
Yeah.
Right.
They're loud, they're beautiful, and they're fun.
Right. It's crazy how much how cars have changed over the years. And, you know, we were talking earlier with one of the guys from the auto show. You know, you have the screen now when you back up. Remember when you were kids to try to parallel park, especially here in Chicago?
You had to put your arm over the seat. You get a whiplash looking behind you.
I do miss the long seats. You know, nowadays you have the bucket seats, especially I have a 14-year-old. I have to teach him to drive. I remember when it was my older brother. It wasn't even my father. They would take me out in the car, and they could lean over and touch the pedals.
That's right.
In the bench seats, but they don't have those anymore.
Nope, that's gone. Your girlfriend cannot sit next to you, kids.
What do they call that? The Detroit lean, where you leaned over and you had your arm and you were kind of on her shoulder. Your head was tilted to the right.
Exactly.
Steve Filippos is here. He's the owner of Chevrolet of Homewood. The Camaro is in front of us, too. When was the Camaro introduced? What year? Do we know?
You know what? I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Oh, I have it right in front of me. 1967.
67.
1967.
Well, I was going to say that was the icon one, the 67 Z28. So we kind of hit it together.
How long does it take for these cars to gain value? Because I have a buddy that lives in Davenport, Iowa, that bought a brand new Camaro in 92, mint condition, put it in his garage in 97, and it's been sitting there ever since. He brings it out during the summertime just to run it. But I'm like, Bill, I don't know what the value is on that. Have you looked it up? It's got to be worth some money after 30 years.
You know what? I wish I could tell you that which car is going to be worth a lot of money, but I can't. Here's what happens. These cars, the best thing is if you want to collect your car, put as little as miles as you can on it.
Of course.
And just make sure you take care of it. It's never been hit. And the rest is, it truly is like anything else. It's luck. Will the car withstand the test of time?
Well,
Corvettes, for the most part, do. A lot of the Camaros do.
Yeah.
67 Camaros, 69 Camaros. I mean, they're just worth a ton right now.
Well, the Camaro, what was it? The Transformers movie.
Correct.
It exploded after that. I mean, were people coming to you, I got to get the Camaro.
They wanted a yellow Camaro with a black stripe. We couldn't keep enough of them.
Really? They wanted that exact one?
They wanted the yellow Camaro with the black stripe. So we had a blue one, a pink one. We had everything. We had a breast cancer one. And you know what? Everybody wanted the yellow one.
Really? Wow. The Chevy Blazer. Is it the new model that you have over here?
Yes. We have the new Chevy Blazer, and we have the new Trailblazer also.
God, that is just a beautiful car. I mean,
it truly is.
It's fantastic. And the Blazer went away, right? And then came back?
Yes. The Blazer was reintroduced last year.
Okay.
It's a 2020. It's a fantastic
Why
truck.
Why would it go away? I mean, everybody loves the Blazer. I guess you take it away and everybody wants it and you bring it back.
Well, it's like anything else. Times change. We update cars. They change model lines.
Right.
And now they bring it back. Now, please understand, it says Blazer and it says Trailblazer. It's not the Blazer and the Trailblazer of the past. These
no
are
way.
Brand new,
no
redesigned
way.
Automobiles.
Right.
They're fantastic.
Definitely so. I'm going to take a break. We'll talk some more cars. What's your website? People can check you out.
Absolutely. Please go to www.homewoodchevy.com.
Homewoodchevy.com. Steve Filippo's here. We're live from the auto show at 720 WGN. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive, patient-centered healthcare experience at their dental institute, family medicine clinic, speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, and Eye Institute. At their clinics, you'll receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for healthcare. And for news at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN. We're talking with Steve Filippos. He is the owner of Chevy of Homewood. How long have you owned that?
I've owned that store since 2002.
2002. What's the most popular car or SUV right now that people want?
Right now at Chevrolet or Homewood, our biggest seller is the Chevrolet Trax.
The Trax.
The Trax.
Now, remind everybody what the Trax is.
Well, the Trax is a new model that was introduced a couple years ago. It's fantastic. And basically what happened is we're getting away from a lot of the smaller automobiles, like the Cruze, for example.
Right,
yeah. It was discontinued. It played its life out. And now people are buying the Trax. So basically for the same money that you were spending on a Cruze, you can get into a nice sport utility that you can put your family into.
I feel like everybody wants an SUV or a sport utility vehicle nowadays.
That's completely true. Everybody right. does. It's the hottest thing out there right now.
Right. Especially in Chicago. You get one with all-wheel drive, especially with these winters. Is it snowing outside? Did you just come in?
Because we're having a blizzard.
Of course we are. It is Chicago in February. What is your most popular feature on cars? Heated seats?
Here right now, heated seats. Everybody loves that. Everybody likes
it. I love it. I love my booty
heated. The rear view cameras are fantastic. People love those things.
It's so nice. What do you drive? What are you driving?
I drive a Chevrolet Tahoe.
A Tahoe?
I love it.
Those things are huge.
They're absolutely huge.
How do you parallel park that downtown in the loop?
With great difficulties. I'm excited about the Tahoe. You know, you see our new one out here?
I have not. Where is it? We have a new model in 2020?
We have a new model. It's right in the Chevrolet display. It's so nice. It's scary.
How does that work with Chevy? Do they, since you've owned your dealership for years and years and years, do they call you up and say, Steve, we're thinking about doing this. What do you think?
Well, I doubt they call Steve, but they call a lot of dealers up. And what they do is they have advisory boards. And they talk to customers.
Right.
And they talk to people that actually own these vehicles. And they say, here, what do you like?
Right.
And what do you dislike about your car or truck?
What's the biggest thing that people dislike? What do you hear about?
You know what? People are pretty
because people
open
love to complain.
Everything.
If they see an owner of a dealership, let me tell you my problems. I don't want to tell you how great my car is. And it's been running for 10 years.
I'll tell you what, years ago I used to hear about all the problems. Right now, cars are pretty problematic.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It truly is.
Everything's computerized. Remember back in the day? I don't know if you remember this, but of course you do. The carburetors, we used to have to put a screwdriver in to start our car.
Don't forget the hairspray.
What was the hairspray? It wouldn't stick, right?
It wouldn't stick. You spray some hairspray in there and the car would start. You'd pump it and rock the car out of the
really
snow.
Come a long way. We were talking earlier about how the floorboards were rusted out in the car that I grew up in. It's just nuts. Crazy.
It's a different world, all cars. I mean, the cars don't rust anymore.
Right.
Cars drive fantastically. They're all computerized.
And everything, you can even get an app to look at your cars, right?
You know the most amazing thing? If you have an Android or an iPhone,
right.
you can do everything from start your car. It'll tell you what's wrong with your car. Here, your telephone will tell you when to go to your dealership
yeah.
to get an oil change.
Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing.
But, I mean, that's what people want nowadays. They want to control everything from their phone. And if they can do that with their car, if they can wake up in the morning and warm up their car before they go out, why not?
People love technology.
Yeah.
They truly do.
They do. Even though they fight it, it's like, oh, my gosh, once they figure it out and you explain it to them, it's like, why did it take so long?
All I know is my 10-year-old son teaches me how to work my car for my phone, and I'm a dealer. Enough said.
I love that. And we have to say hello to Ellie Hillstrom, who's right behind us, and, of course, the godfather, Mike. Mike Hillstrom, I call him the godfather because everybody, when he walks in the door, we all want to shake his hand and say hello and just...
Kiss his ring.
Salt to the earth, though. What a great guy.
One of the greatest guys out there. Mike, how you doing? We miss you.
Tell people if they come out to the auto show that we're right next to the Chevy display. What are your favorites over here to look at? Besides, of course, the Corvette and the Camaro. What color is that Camaro right there? Neon?
That's a
neon green.
That's a beautiful green. It's a retro color, and believe it or not, it's very, very popular.
How fast can that car go? That Camaro right there.
I'm embarrassed to say. Let's say it's. I'm going to use the number two, and that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. What are your favorites over here? Because everything at the auto show is interactive nowadays.
Here, everything is wonderful. We have a lot of interactive activities. We have beautiful cars to see. But you know what? If you see nothing else, please take a minute and go see the 2021 Trailblazer. It's brand new. It's back, and it's back this year. Can I tell you a little bit about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's the latest member of our SUV family. It's the all-new 2021. Here's the biggest thing about it is, as nice as this truck is, the starting MSRP is under, you ready? Under $20,000.
How do you do that? Seriously.
Somebody up in Detroit knows something I don't.
Have you seen these being made? Do they take you up there from start to finish?
You know what? I was at the factory once. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
Because you have people and robots, and everything has to fit like a glove, or it's going to rattle on the road. I just don't understand how they can put it together perfectly every single time.
It has to be perfect, and it's perfect every time, and then afterwards it goes into quality control after they're already built. They do another inspection after the car comes off the assembly
line. How many do they bang out in a day, would you say? Do you even know?
I don't know. I wish I did.
Am I asking two pointed questions? Do I need to go up and visit the factory? You and I take a road trip up to Detroit?
You know, that'd be a great radio show. I'll go with you.
By the way, you look like you just got back from Hawaii. You look fantastic. You're tan. You got the white shirt on. I got to remember that. If I'm tan, wear the white shirt because you look even better.
Well, you know what? I think somebody in here was in Mexico. I don't know who, but he looks pretty tan. I'm not going to say who. Well, I think that was you, wasn't it?
It's the Lebanese skin. I'm actually getting tan underneath these lights at McCormick Place.
So we got a Greek and a Lebanese guy sitting next to each other pretending they're Irish.
And somebody's cooking in our family right now.
No question.
How did you get in the business? Was it a family business or you just loved cars?
You know what? I got into the business one summer 35 years ago, and I was going to do it for one weekend, and one weekend became 1 month, and here I am. I dropped out of law school, and here I am.
You're kidding.
No, my mother's still crying.
Oh,
that's a whole different story.
How upset were your parents?
My mother, he's selling cars?
Oh, God. I can't imagine. A Greek mother, and she's just very upset, wasn't she?
Ah, she still cooked for all of us.
Right.
She was fine.
Okay, and then she gets over it. Once you become successful, I mean, you have that drive, and you're a natural-born salesperson. So it must have been easy.
You know what? I don't know if I'm a salesperson. I enjoy what I do. I love people, right. And I love cars.
Wow. I mean, that's awesome. It's great to meet you. Thank you for coming by.
It's a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for having me.
And how many days are you going to be out at the auto show?
I'm going to be here every day with most of the dealers. We're having a great time.
And you're on the board. You're on the board of directors. What does that actually mean?
Well, you know what? I've been voted on the board, and I'm the new guy on the team. And all I do is I give my input and try to help them get us to the next level.
Well, Friday night, First Look for Charity, they raised $2.8 million. Right there, that's unbelievable to do in one night. And the different charities get to keep that money.
Yes, it is. When you buy your ticket, you get to pick your charity.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing. You know, you had Mr. Guido on here the other day. You interviewed him. And it's such a proud feeling to sit there and watch that check being handed out and somebody winning a new car. It's fabulous.
Well, I don't think you guys get enough credit because every year it's over $2.5 million or more, which is crazy to do in one night.
Well, there's a lot of great people and a lot of people that buy these tickets.
And I love the fact that you guys are a fraternity. Well, the men and women, a fraternity, a sorority. I mean, you all get along, all the different types of car dealerships.
Absolutely. You know what? It's a competitive business. Everybody wants to sell their brand, and right. Everybody wants to sell their car. But you know what? When it comes to the auto show, It is a fraternity. We're all there for you. If you see anybody from any brand or model, sure, just reach out to them. They'll guide you to wherever you want to go.
And I'm sure some of these people you only see once a year, so it's, you know, kind of a reunion. I'm sure
it is.
You love
it's a reunion. This is a party. It's a great time. Come to the auto show, really.
It really is. And I mentioned this earlier. People get so overwhelmed, especially coming in from the suburbs, coming down to McCormick Place. It is so easy with the parking. And once it's 90% of it is parking when you drive, and especially with your family. And A, B, C, and D, the parking garages are easy. You can park at Millennium Park, and they shuttle you over for free. There's so many different ways to get here. And once you're here, the help tells you exactly where to go. I mean, there's information every single place.
You cannot mess up. It's the easiest thing in the world. Don't be afraid of the word McCormick Place.
Right.
Just come on in. You can't miss it.
Right. Steve, great to see you. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Quick break, and we'll talk to Billy Bush, who is headed to the red carpet at the Academy Awards, which are happening tonight. That's coming up on 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, we're live at the auto show right next to the Chevy display. When you walk in, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're doing a text poll this afternoon. What was your beater that you grew up in, or most amount of miles on your car? 630 area code. I bought my first car from my older brother for $200. It was a 76 Monte Carlo with swivel seats. Now, if people remember the 76, that was the one with the huge hood. Right? Do we remember that? Curtis, why am I asking you? You weren't even born in 1976.
I was going to say, the car that I had growing up doesn't even exist now. It was a Saturn L300 that still had a cassette player in it.
Oh, what?
And if a cassette player?
What was a cassette? I'm just being funny. I love but, the mixtape.
But we had
a Saturn what?
L300. It was like a little sedan, black sedan.
Okay.
Leather interior.
Yep.
If I wanted to play music, I actually had to go to like Radio Shack and purchase a cassette player that had a little cord that stuck out of the side of it in order to come over and then play it off my phone to play my music.
Of course.
So that was how it drove around. And then the catchphrase, pass the aux, as the aux cord. So whenever I was driving with my friends, they'd be like, pass the aux cord, so that they could play their music.
That is so
on the
funny
system. Yeah, Saturn not no longer around anymore, but that was my car growing
up. You reminded me, the cassette players, you have to stick something in the cassette player to hook onto your CD player when CDs first came around.
Yeah, it actually had both, the cassette and a CD player.
Mm-hmm. I still have a CD player in my car. I don't even think I ever use it. I just switch over to my phone. I have
Now you have Bluetooth, and you can easily connect it. I do that all the time with my car.
Let's see. I had a rusted hole on the rear quarter wheel panel that one day I slammed the door and the birds flew out of the rusted hole. I love that. That's great. Why the floorboards always rusted out of old cars? They finally figured that out. You don't remember those days, do you?
No, I don't. I'm sure my folks do, though. I'm definitely sure my folks do. My mom would tell you a story about how when she would go on a road trip, mm-hmm, with her family, because she was the youngest of four.
Okay.
It'd be her in the way back of their station wagon with her, one of her two older brothers, and they'd be, you know, like flicking like little snacks and stuff at people and getting in trouble that way on like long road trips like South Dakota and all that stuff growing up.
South Dakota?
Yeah, go see all the Mount Rushmore. Sure. And all that stuff, the Black Hills.
McMurray's never did that. We always went to Wisconsin. It was such an easy trip to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And if people remember, the station wagons back in the day, no one put on seatbelts. And we were like popcorn in the way back of the station wagon. You know, your dad hits a bump, you hit the top, everything's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we were driving around in tanks back in the day. Maybe that was it. Are you going to watch the Academy Awards tonight?
I will. I will be watching the Academy Awards. I'm actually going to explore here after we're done. Check out some of the events, because I didn't have really a lot of time to check it out before we went on the air today. But I'll check out this for a little bit, might grab some dinner, and then come back and watch the Oscars tonight.
There is a live band straight across from us where the band will play, and then they'll stop, and then you can put on the guitars, and they'll take pictures of you. There's so many of those different displays where they can scan you, and you can turn into a superhero.
That I want to do.
It's right in front of us.
I know. I see it.
Right.
I'm excited. I hope they have some of the Marvel characters.
Everything's interactive. When people think of the auto show, they think, oh, I'm just going to go there and look at cars. That's not happening. And by the way, every single restaurant in Chicago is here.
Yeah. get like little samples or like snack bites walking around, pulled pork sandwiches, little mini sliders.
How come we're not eating the ribs from Robinson's Ribs that are right in front of us?
I'm eyeing the fudge stand, to be honest. But that's just me.
You can't eat fudge during a show. You can't do that.
It's small enough. I think, honestly, you could eat fudge over the ribs. Fudge is small. Quick pop it in your mouth, you're good to go.
I absolutely love ribs. I could probably eat about 15 slabs. People think, oh, you can't eat that much. I could sit down and eat about 42 chicken wings and probably 14 slabs of ribs. The Academy Awards are happening tonight. Anybody in this crew right here see any Academy Award movies? Because I saw one this week.
I saw The Irishman.
Oh, that's right. I've seen that. I saw that on Netflix.
That I loved.
It took me a while to get through The Irishman. I had to sit down in three different occasions, and I didn't like the fact that there was one scene with De Niro when he walked out of the store, threw the store owner out, and he was kicking him on the sidewalk. He looked like an old man, where he was supposed to be playing a young man. Robert De Niro, that is.
I watched it while I was sick, so that was the perfect way to kind of kill a day while laying on your couch trying to get well.
Growing up, my mother loved Judy Garland, loved her voice. I saw the movie Judy this week, and I can't believe how much of a train wreck Judy Garland was.
Really?
I know they take liberties in movies, but she was broke. I didn't realize how many drugs she was on, and she drank like crazy, nonstop. But Renee Zellweger sings in the movie. She is so good. She absolutely deserves the Academy Award. She transformed the character. You know when you see an actor on screen, it takes you a few minutes to finally get them associated with the character? Right when the movie starts, it's like, oh, my God, this is Judy Garland.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Absolutely fantastic.
Have you seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? That I also heard is very good.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
I sat down to watch it on a plane a few weeks ago, and I turned it off because I wasn't really concentrating on it, and I want to. I mean, Brad Pitt, what a comeback.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody threw him under the bus when he got a divorce from Angelina Jolie. And now, here he is. He's going to win an Academy Award tonight.
Killing it.
Wow, he's killing it. How much is ABC going to earn tonight for revenue from the Oscars? Excuse me. $149 million tonight ABC is going to make, just on commercials alone. How much is Los Angeles making on the Oscars in one night? $130 million. How much is Hollywood spending on award season, lobbying each year to get their movies and actors? What would you guess? $20 million? $30
million? Yeah, I'd probably guess maybe between $25, $27.
Hollywood spends $100 million PR to try to get their people and their movies to win.
Yeah.
$100 million. I know we throw around these numbers, but think about $100 million. That's crazy. And remember, it's just going towards one group in Hollywood that's voting on these movies. They don't care about people like us that are sitting here in Chicago. They just don't care.
I'd assume that there'd be some sort of Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant tribute. We were on 2 weeks ago when that story happened.
Right.
And, of course, the Grammys were that night, and they had a tribute for him during that. And, of course, it was in the Staples Center, and all those people were outside, you know, paying their respects to Kobe. I would assume that there would be something kind of similar along the lines we might see like that tonight.
They are doing something with Kobe. Remember, Kobe won a Grammy, and he won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got more text coming in. 1974 AMC Hornet. First car.
The AMC Hornet.
From the 815.
I remember the AMC Pacer. That was a fishbowl. The ugliest car on the planet in Wayne's World. The AMC, what was it again?
It was an AMC Hornet from 1974.
I don't remember the Hornet. I'm going to have to look that. I'm going to have to Google that one up.
626 Nissan Pathfinder from 1999. The first car I ever bought brand new and paid off 317,000 miles. Still have it. I need a transmission.
317,000 miles? Wow. Who can top that one? I thought I was... Our cars would hit around 120, 130,000 miles, and that would be it. And then they just blow up.
I have a Honda Civic.
Okay.
And I don't
That'll run forever.
Yeah, and I don't think I've hit 50,000 on that yet. Maybe 56, if I'm guessing.
56?
56,000, yeah.
Well, you're driving from Lakeview to downtown. You're barely driving.
But before that, I had it since 2016, so I was driving it to and from the city when I was coming here. Another text from 847. We used to lay on the back deck where the speakers were. That's how big cars were and how long ago that was.
Remember that back window? That was so crazy. I mean, you see those old cars nowadays, people driving around the city and the suburbs, and they have 1 million stuffed animals in their back window and on that back deck. Just crazy.
All the Beanie Babies.
Remember how much money we all spend on speakers and stereo equipment to juice up our crappy cars? I mean, come on. Oh, yeah, I had to get a equalizer. I got a tweeter. I don't even know what that means.
I've got so much weight in my back.
Why would you need the equalizer? Just so you'd have those buttons that would make you feel better? Oh, I needed more bass, man.
I was going to say, when I was in high school, it was all about the bass. They didn't need the equalizer. They just got, like, multiple bass sets.
My first car was a 72 Ford Maverick with a vinyl top, leather bucket seats, shag carpet, and kick blank radio. Got it. Okay, bought it for $500. Yes. My old cars, by the way, we're talking old cars, old mileage on cars, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. My brother Ed had a Mercury Cougar. It was a 78. And when you get in his car, it was army green. When you get in his car, we'd call it, you'd have to hump up because you couldn't start the car unless you had your seatbelts on. And for some reason, we never wore the seatbelts. Like, hump up. It's like, why wouldn't we just put the seatbelts on?
Yeah.
And we nicknamed that car. Another thing is, you nicknamed the car. That was the John Cougar. We're going into Ed's John Cougar. By the way, another car from the 70s had a huge hood. Just absolutely huge. My first car, I just read that one. Okay, all right. 64 Dodge Polara with a push-button transmission. Love that car boat. Thank you, 847. We had a Honda Odyssey 2000 with 310,000 miles on it. What? That's crazy. Subaru Outback 2011 with 339,000 miles on it. Just donated our 1999 Lexus that had to 98 on, let's see, I can't even read this. Honda Odyssey 2000 with 310,000 miles on it. Okay. Honda Civic, 147,500. First car was a 1966 Pontiac Star Chief Executive. What? Wow.
Do you wonder if, I'm sure there's people out there who have probably started restoring some of these old cars.
I don't know if you're going to restore a Pontiac Star Chief Executive.
I guarantee you there's probably somebody out there that's probably started it or has done something with it.
I've told this story before. When I was in college, I had a 1976 Coupe de Ville Cadillac. Took it to Earl Scheib in Peoria while I was at Bradley University. Painted it Pepto-Bismol pink, and the good people at Earl Scheib in Peoria painted the vinyl top white. They took off the hubcaps and painted the rims white. So I had the white rims, the white vinyl top, and a Pepto-Bismol pink Cadillac driving down Main Street when I went to Bradley. It's good stuff. 312-981-7200, our phone number, also our text line. Do we have Ellie on the phone? Ellie, you're on WGN. Hi, what's up?
Hi, my name's Elise.
Elise.
The car I had was a 57 Saratoga Chrysler with, like, the big fins on each side.
Oh, yeah. 57
and now it's
Saratoga.
Worth around $50,000. That's where I saw it in some show or something.
What did you
I
pay for
it? But it was, my father told me, well, I didn't buy it. My father bought it for me, $800.
Isn't that crazy? Now that's what a repair is. You take your car in nowadays.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Absolutely, more than that.
And it was a Saratoga, is that right?
Yeah, I think that was the model.
Okay. I'm writing
Chrysler.
These down. Well, thank you so much for calling. Have a great day.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
We're live at the auto show right next to the Chevy display. My first car was a 74 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme two-door coupe. Bought it brand new. Made it to 125,000 miles. 2006 Honda Civic, 250,000. Still runs great. Shooting for 350. 219 area code. That's great. As long as you keep these cars in good condition, why not? Everything's computerized nowadays. They will last forever, especially a Honda. I feel like you could just drive and drive and drive those things.
Drive those things right into the ground.
71 brown Chevy Impala. Beat the heck out of it. 172,000 miles. Free, just the transmission. Thank you, Ross. In high school, 84 and 85, I drove my dad's 68 Sky Blue Olds Cutlass. Supreme convertible, rusted out floorboard. We all had rust. You know what? It builds character. Our kids will never know what it was like to not drop anything on the floor because you would lose it out the rusted floorboard, or lift your feet up, or have to cut some plywood to put on the floor because you didn't want to see the road. Yeah. 618 area code. We have a 09 Chevy Trailblazer that will run, that will turn over 146,000 miles today. Man, that's impressive. I like that.
815. My first car was a 1978 Chrysler Cordoba.
Chrysler Cordoba. Was that the guy from Fantasy Island that did that?
Yeah.
Ricardo Montalban. 74 Ford Pinto that did not explode. I think that was an urban legend. 708 area code. Thank you. The Ford Pinto, that was the thing. Well, if you get hit in the rear, it's going to blow up. I think someone made that up. First car was a 64 turquoise Buick Wildcat. Used to put our 10-speed bikes in the back seat to go down to the lake. 847 area code. Think about that. How many? Probably two 10-speed bikes. I love these old car stories. We had the... what did we have? We had the Ford station wagon with the Country Squire paneling on the side. Oh, just beaters. What else? I'm going to have to think about this. Wow. We're live at the auto show, 312-981-7200, our phone number if you want to get on the air, or our text line right in front of us. We're talking old cars, mileage on cars, and we'll check in with James McCann from the Chicago White Sox at 315 today. Pitchers and catchers report on Friday. White Sox, high expectations.
Wednesday. The 12th, yes.
Wednesday.
Yep.
Oh, wow. What do they do the first day? They just show up. They're not doing much. I guess we'll ask James at 3:15.
Yeah, there you go.
Quick break. It's 7:20 WGN. It is Pete McMurray. We're live at the Auto Show. If you come to the Auto Show today, we're right next to the Chevy display and right next to ABC7. We're right next to ABC7's news truck, too. You cannot miss us. We're talking old cars, old mileage on cars. Someone just texted us, 312-981-7200. We get pictures, too. Someone just sent us a picture, 708 area code. They restored a Pinto. It now has a 511 HP electronic fuel injection VH stuffed in it. Wow. And it is olive green. Or is that... That's Kermit the Frog green. That's what it is. A Kermit the Frog green Pinto.
My grandpa... my grandpa's listening. He said his first car was a 1931 Plymouth.
I bet he paid $200 for it.
Probably. And he said he called it a Beepka.
A Beepka?
Beepka.
Beepka.
Yeah, B-E-E-P-K-A.
Okay. 847 area code, 2013 Chevy Spark, 250,000 miles, just changed my rear drums for the first time. Awesome car. That's great. I'm telling you, these new cars, man, you can just run them forever as long as the body's fine. 847 area code, Ricardo Montalban on the Cordoba. Crush velour and amazing affordability. Must be said with a thick Latin accent. Well, I tried. I don't know. Just past 276,000 with my 2007 Nissan Altima. Still going strong. 300,000 miles right around the corner. Wow. 815 area code, AMC Hornet hatchback. You're right. People will restore just about anything. And these people that restore cars, it's all about the journey. I mean, putting it together. My neighbor Joe... That's what he does. He restores cars, and once he's done, he gets rid of them. He'll sell them, or he'll restore cars for his buddies because it's the journey getting there that he enjoys the most.
Have you ever seen, like, on History Channel when they have, like, those shows? I can't remember what it, Counting Cars or something, where they restore, like, somebody has a car that they want restored,
right.
And they totally do a whole renovation of it and kind of customize it to what the owner is wanting.
I've never seen
shows like
that
that were on History Channel that were cool to watch.
My grandfather worked at Caterpillar for years and years and years. Every year they'd buy a brand new Cadillac. I mean, how does somebody afford that?
Speaking of selling cars, going back to my grandpa's car, his brother sold it when he was in the service.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So during the 40s there.
312-981-7200, our phone number. Let's take a few calls. Let's go to Cheryl in Buffalo Grove. Cheryl, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on? Nice snowy Sunday. My first car, it was a total blast from the past when you guys started talking about it. A 1984 Buick Skyhawk wagon.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
which was actually
sexy.
Great to take all my stuff from my parents' house down to U of I. I was styling in my Skyhawk wagon.
You know what?
It was like, I mean, brown.
That was normal. I went to prom in a station wagon. I went to prom in a
station
wagon.
Handling?
Oh, of course. I mean, what else are you going to do as a kid? It's like you got to pick up your prom date. You're driving a station wagon. That's what you do. And you're going to college. What are you going to do? You got a station wagon.
Right.
And, awesome. and back in the day, if you said to your parents, I don't want to take the station wagon, well, tough. This is all you have.
Right. There's no Uber.
No, there is no Uber. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thanks. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Let's go to Taxi Driver Bob. Taxi Driver Bob, what's happening, brother?
I hate when that word is brought up ever. Uber. What?
Oh, okay, because you're Taxi Driver Bob. Got it.
That's
go
right,
ahead,
absolutely.
Man.
That actually is, that Pinto is not a myth. It actually, if you YouTube it, those cars were designed where the gas tank was directly in the back of the car, like at an elevated like angle to where if somebody rear-ended you with any kind of an intensity, the gas tank could explode.
How many blew up, though? I think maybe one? I don't know. Can you Google that, Curtis? I still think that something happened. I don't think there was too many that blew up. Thank you, Bob. All right, let's go to Edwin in Lake Geneva. Edwin, what's up? You're on 720 WGN.
Well, thanks for taking the call. I got two real fast stories. One is I've got a 03 Toyota with 290,000 miles, and I burn 2 quarts of oil every 400 miles, and this is a Toyota-maintained car. So that's the other side of the coin. It's disheartening because they're the only ones that take care of the car, and in spite of the fact that it goes in every 5,000 miles and is checked by the Toyota dealer, that's the best. And what's happening is dwindling. I'm at the parking. And then the other story, in 64, I was a senior at Northern. I bought a 54 Fairlane for $50, standard transmission, 100,000 miles. And I drove it for 13 months, and I sold that thing for $75. It was the best car I ever had.
What kind of car was it again?
It was a Ford Fairlane. And like you said, our children will never know what it is to suffer because all my rocker panels were all rotted out. And my fiance at the time, was girlfriend at the time, my fiance, she'd get splattered from the road. I had to put a big carpet in the front of the passenger side so all that slush wouldn't come into the car. I'll tell you, and
oh
the heater
gosh.
Went out. Yeah, I tell you, we have some stories to tell. It's not so much we walked in high snow. We walked. We just had some difficult times, and we managed to get through them.
Yeah,
And of course, I could barely afford to put gas in the car, even though it was like gas was 25 cents a gallon.
Oh, yeah.
And then I didn't have any insurance. Could you imagine? 13 months, no insurance at all. I mean, God was really protecting me. So it was quite a bang. But the thing about it, in closing, I made $25 on the car. Best car I ever had.
I love it. Thank you, Edwin. Great story.
No, you're welcome. Have a good day.
312-981-7200. That reminds me. We used to go to the gas station back in the day and put $2.50 in our cars. Yeah. And that's when you had the gas guzzlers and you could only go, a few miles.
So you're talking about the Pintos.
Yes.
27 of them blew up.
27 blew up.
Ultimately, 27 people were determined to have been killed in those car accidents as well.
I guess I was wrong. Thank you, Taxi Driver Bob. I was wrong. So 27, that was true.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you ever buy that car? Well, Ford fixed it. They moved the gas tank down. Well, there's 27 people that died. Wow.
In one of the cases that was brought to trial, a California jury awarded a boy who had been severely burned by one of those crashes a total of $126 million.
Oh, boy. Wow. 847 area code just sent us a picture of their odometer, 480,863 miles. That is impressive. What kind of car is that? Let's see here. Nope, I just lost it.
Okay. 2002 Chevy Suburban.
2002 Chevy Suburban.
Yep.
2014 Jeep Unlimited, 165,000 miles. My first car, Pete, was 1971 Buick Skylark. I drove it forever. From Carrie C. Thank you, Carrie. Sunfire had 110, a Pontiac Sunfire had 110,000 miles on it. Okay. Currently driving a 1999 Audi A4 Quattro, 156,000 miles. Okay. Wow, I can't keep up with these text messages.
I know,
was 8 and wore out our car battery by closing and opening the windows.
2001 yep. Ford Ranger, 388,888 miles.
Boy, that's so impressive. Wow. I have an 07 Dodge Nitro, just turned over 400,000 miles. John G. in St. Charles, still going strong. I love it, man. That's great. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to James McCann. We'll still take your calls. Old car memories, mileage on cars, 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll check news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN. All right, it's Pete McMurray. We're live at the North America's largest auto show. I keep saying the world's largest. I should have asked the guys from the auto show. What is the world's largest? North America's largest auto show, the Chicago Auto Show. We're out here next to the Chevy display. And I'm telling you right now, there is something for everyone just walking around during news. I mean, there's families, there's people. I just talked to somebody that came in from Champaign because they wanted to see the new cars. They wanted to go through the interactive stuff that they have out here. It's just absolutely crazy. We have the Academy Awards tonight. Let's go to the phones right now and welcome in our good friend Billy Bush, who is on the red carpet. I know you're swamped today. I'm sorry that we're late. Were you doing your makeup?
I don't do my own makeup, Pete, just because of we try to keep it on a professional level. Pete, I'm standing on the red carpet as we speak. The buzz is certainly circling. The famous people are not here yet, Pete. I'm doing my Chicago voice now because of you. Hey, Pete, there's some rain, menacing clouds. They got the tent up. It rains. It stops. It rains. It's cold. I got a feeling the beautiful women are going to have to wear a wrap tonight, and then they're going to have to come back and, you know, show that dress because they got three dresses. They got to show them. A lot of drama, Pete.
Well, why are you on the red carpet at 1 in the afternoon L.A. time? What time's the show start? 5? 6?
Well, the Oscars have us by the short and curlies here, my friend. They like to get locked down nice and early. There's no... They wouldn't let you. They're not letting the female reporters who are famous take pictures because they want everybody in position exactly 4 hours before the show.
Okay. Do you have a list of questions go to in case you can't think of anything on the fly?
Yeah. Throw me a name and I'll tell you what I'm thinking with each person. Come on. Let's play a little, you know, red carpet trivia.
Renee Zellweger.
Renee, my gosh, she's taken 6 years off. And from acting to take care of some things. I don't want to get into your personal life, Renee, but I want to know what prompted you to do that and how has it affected you? How do you feel now? I watched Judy yesterday morning. I crashed it, and I got to tell you, it is a tour de force. It is unbelievable. She will no question win tonight.
Next. Billy, I just watched Judy the other day, and I got to tell you, she is so good in that movie. She transformed the character as soon as it started.
Oh, just watching what they did to these young girls who are contract actors, you know, back in the day. Louis B. Mayer, you know, not letting her eat a French fry and all
right.
these things. I mean, it's just, you know, I guess Pan Am had that with flight attendants. I mean, that was it. It was a different time. But imagine that happening today. Oh, my God. No way.
Right. Brad just Pitt,
awful.
What do you say to Brad?
Oh, man. Brad Pitt, I got to say, first of all, it's hard to recognize Brad without his name tag. If you know, at the Oscar luncheon, he wore a name tag that said Brad Pitt. I wonder, his name is William Bradley Pitt. I'm interested, did they ever at any point call him Bill or Billy? I would like to know if as a kid he was Billy Pitt, something like that. He's from the Ozarks. He'll be with his parents. On a serious note, You know, I think Quentin Tarantino's a guy that, you know, comes into actors' lives at a serendipitous moment. You know, with John Travolta, of course.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. We're
that's
right.
A big, but here's Brad Pitt. He's had a couple of rough years, and he chooses the Tarantino film. He becomes close friends with DiCaprio, who you'd think they would be, just because they're both handsome and probably, you know, up for the same roles.
Right.
But they become, you know, he's had this incredible moment, and the Tarantino film, and now he's standing here after two rough years as the heavy favorite to win the Oscar. So there's kind of that moment. And then there's fun moments like, you know, the guy said he's had a drink or a smoke of weed every day since college. This is before he got sober. And right. I've never seen the weight fluctuate.
Never.
Have you? I've never seen him coming out of a gym.
Never.
Did he ever work out? Is he that metabolic freak? I'm interested in that. Because DiCaprio in the off season is like me, you know, we get comfortable.
You gain a few lbs. Next thing you know, you got to wear the plastic suit like they did in Vision Quest, the movie, to lose weight. It's nice.
They come to Leo and they say, "You got a movie in 2 months. Let's go."
We're talking to Billy Bush, who's live on the red carpet at the Academy Awards. If De Niro and Pesci walk up, do you have something for both of those? Because De Niro is very hard to get answers from. But I love Joe Pesci in The Irishman. I think he should have won, or he should win tonight.
I'm going to say, Robert, Mr. De Niro, can I call you Bobby? President Trump tweeted out his support of you tonight. Do you have a reaction? Then watch him explode. and tell him I'm sorry. He was actually wishing good luck to someone else. I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. Pesci won't talk. He never does interviews. But I do love him, and I hope it's a good chance to just look at him and tower over him.
He was so
not
good.
Taller than, yeah.
I understand that. I know you're taller than him. Do you even get a chance to watch the Academy Awards? Are you backstage waiting for the winners?
No, we separate out the duties. So someone else will, Jen Lommers, reporter for us, will do the governor's ball after the show. When they walk into the governor's ball, she'll handle those post interviews. We have fashion people, and I do the red carpet, and then I'm done.
Well, do you go to an after party?
No, I go home. My daughters are there. We watch the show together. We have a little cauliflower crust pizza. And hold on, there's Renee's publicist. Let me see if I can talk to her. Renee's not been doing a lot of interviews. Which one is it? Is that Dominic? Which one?
Give,
on the left is Dominic.
Give Renee Dominic. The phone. I want to talk to her.
I just want to say, I don't know that she'll be chatting, but Renee and I go way, way back to SoulCycle bikes next to each other.
I watched
Judy yesterday. I love this woman. And I would love if she is in good hands with me and she knows it.
Why would Renee be there so early, Billy?
Renee would not be early, but her publicist would be here early.
Ah, that's what happens. So you have to work the publicist, and then when the actress or the actor arrives, they walk right up to you.
He's not big enough. He can't see over the thing. It's important to see the celebrities when they come in, and he's not tall enough to see over the barricade.
See, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Oh, my God. Billy Porter has arrived. He's doing the pre-show for ABC. This is, oh, my gosh.
Tell me what he's wearing.
Billy Porter.
Tell me what he's wearing.
He's wearing a gold feathered. How are you, buddy? Oh, good to see you. I'm looking at Billy Porter. Wow. That is a gold, how do you describe that? A gold feathered yet plated vest. Arms are out with huge platform shoes and curtains. Oh, now it's raining again. It's raining again.
This is what happens in Hollywood.
How you know it?
Can we talk to Billy Porter, or is that it? Are you done?
Billy Porter, I might get him over. Billy P loves Billy B, so we'll see what happens.
I like that. And finally, Billy, who's the number one interview you want to get tonight? I know you're friends with Renee, but who's the one you really want to get?
Hold on, I have to interrupt you right now, Pete.
Yeah.
If this tarp that is over my head gives way, and it's given way, There's droplets coming through. It is pouring cats and dogs. It is raining so hard right now. I mean, and I'm, oh no, there's drops all around me. There's leakage. We've got leakage. This could be very dramatic. I hope so. I hope so. Oh my gosh. This tent, I hope it crashes and we just go, it's mayhem.
What do they do? Billy, what do they do when actors and actresses show up if it's raining? They just run them inside.
What do they do?
Do they
have
tents?
A leak right? I've got the worst thing for you. Right in front of my position, where the celebrities would be standing, is the worst leak of all. They better really love me.
No interviews for Billy.
I interview nobody tonight. I know what happens. It passes.
Yes.
This thing's gone in 15 minutes.
All right.
It'll be good.
I got to go into a break, brother. Thank you. We'll be watching tomorrow on Extra on Fox.
Hey, and by the way, we got an upgrade in Chicago.
You're on 3 o'clock.
Yeah, that's good. It's better than midnight or whatever it was.
Right. They moved you.
Oh, my God. It's the rain. Now we've got a side wind blowing the rain in from the side. My makeup is running. My suit is wet. Pete, this is a bona fide disaster, my love.
What happened to you? You used to be cool. My makeup is running. I love it. Thank you, Billy.
I can care.
Thank you, brother.
And now my host is running. Bye-bye.
That is Billy Bush live from the red carpet at the Academy Awards. Let's take a quick break. We're at the Chicago Auto Show at 720 WGN.
Hi, it's Lou Manfredini on behalf of Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. By now, you've heard me talk about the success I had in 2019 while being on the Seattle Sutton Healthy Eating Program. I set a goal to be healthier, lose weight, and the benefits have been remarkable. I'm maintaining my 35-pound weight loss, my blood pressure is under control, and my cholesterol is normal. My plan is to continue to be healthy in 2020 as well. Now, if 2020 is the year you want to make a healthy choice for your life, then call Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating at 800-442-3438. That's 800-442-3438. Your good health is the mission at Seattle Sutton. Food tastes great, it's easy to get started, and if you stick with this plan, you will see the results. Happy New Year, and here's to a new you in 2020 with some help from SeattleSutton.com.
Have you been lied to by Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine? Hi, I'm Inc. Magazine bestselling author Brett Kitchen. And if you're over 55 with an IRA or 401k, I want to give you a free copy of my new book, Wealth Beyond Wall Street, because according to Time Magazine, Wall Street's 401ks have failed millions of Americans. After losing 35% in my IRA in the crash years ago, I said enough. And since then, I discovered a way to grow money potential double digits, reduce taxes dramatically, and also have my money protected when the next stock market crash hits. When the next market crash hits, you lose nothing. Call Wealth Beyond Wall Street now to get your free book and talk to a specialist to discover this little-known strategy to get potential double-digit growth during good years and never lose in the next market crash. Call 800-683-1212 to discover this asset that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to grow wealthy. Plus, get one of just 97 free books left. We even cover shipping and handling, no credit card required. Call 1-800-683-1212. 1-800-683-1212. That's 1-800-683-1212.
All right, 720 WGN. That was Billy Bush live from the red carpet at the Academy Awards. It is pouring down rain in L.A. I love the fact. I mean, you got to laugh because his position, there is a leak in the tent, and actors and actresses aren't going to walk over to him and take an interview because the rain would come down right in their spot. That is so funny. When it comes to weather... We all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV. Meteorologist is a very tough word to say after you've been giggling nonstop. Live at the auto show right next to the Chevy display. Do we have anybody on the line? Or are we okay? We got it? No. Okay. Just wanted to make sure. 312-981-7200. I want to get back to, before we get back to those text messages, I just want to mention... the average increase in box office sales for a Best Picture winner. So whoever wins Best Picture tonight, a lot of people are going to run out and see that. They'll make $15 million right away in the first week. You might say, oh, that's not a lot of money. $15 million? And all you do is win an award? I think that's pretty good. Yeah. How much for an average 30-second commercial for the Academy Awards tonight, $2.6 million. So what was a minute commercial for the Super Bowl? What was that, five and a half? So that's about right. It's almost as much as the Super Bowl now. Because think about how many people, their audience is just as large as the Super Bowl. There's going to be over a billion people watching tonight. We mentioned those after parties. If you want to go to the Vanity Fair Oscar party, the most expensive after party of the night. Curtis, let me ask you, for a pair of tickets to go to the Vanity Fair Oscar party, after party.
Oh, gosh.
What would you think? Because my wife would love to just get dressed up and go to one of these after parties and just people watch. I would absolutely buy this ticket if it was in my range.
Let me ask you this. Is it about as much as a Super Bowl ticket?
Maybe a little bit more.
So maybe about 10 grand?
Keep going.
15 grand.
It is, for a couple, for two tickets, $105,000.
Oh, my God.
So if you wanted to go to the Vanity Fair Oscar party, I mean, most studios buy these for their people, but $105,000. So thanks again to Billy Bush. You can see his interviews tomorrow on Fox on Extra. All right, pitchers and catchers report Wednesday. Baseball is back. Let's say hello to number 33 All-Star White Sox catcher James McCann. James, how are you?
How about yourself?
I'm great, man. How was your offseason? What'd you do?
Say that again?
How was your off season? What'd you do in the off season? I know you're an avid hunter.
Yes, it was a good off season. I got some hunting in, a little bit of fishing, but mostly a lot of family time. Got to hang out with my wife and my twin boys.
Isn't that great? You don't have to go to the ballpark. You can just kind of mellow out and take it easy.
Yes, it's definitely some good downtime and some time to spend with your family. That's for sure.
Now, when you report. Pitchers and catchers report on Wednesday. Does anything happen on Wednesday, or it all starts on Thursday or Friday? When does it start, and what happens?
Yeah, so Wednesday. Well, actually, there's already I'm already in Arizona. There's a good group of guys that are already here, working out daily. Wednesday is just kind of the official day where you got your physicals and first team type stuff with the whole group together on the same schedule.
And did you talk to some of the guys in the off season, or is this the first time you've seen them since the last day?
This is pretty much the first time I've seen guys. You know, we keep in touch, on the phone, texting and calling. But other than that, this is the off season. You kind of do your own thing. Everyone kind of goes back to their homes, and
right.
That's just kind of how it works.
I mean, when you're spending 6-7 hours a day with the same guys over and over, you kind of get sick of them. You need some time off, and now you're happy to see these guys again. Am I right?
Absolutely. They're like brothers, and it's exciting to get back and be around the guys. And it's an exciting time of the year, just with being around your teammates again, but also with the start of baseball and just the start of spring.
Do you let your body go in the off season, or you maintain a certain level and then kick it up a gear during spring training?
So the off season, I usually take a couple of weeks off, and then I get right back into training, and it's a full go. There's you might take a week off here, a week off there, but you train throughout the off season. To by the time you show up to spring training, you're in shape and you're ready to play. It's not spring training back in the olden days was. Time to get ready for the season. Spring training now is you better show up and be ready to go.
Right. You better be ready. So you're a White Sox catcher. We're talking to James McCann. When you're training in the off season, do you watch Netflix in your catcher stance just to kind of get used to it?
No. I try and stay away from squatting as much as I can just to give my legs a break.
I mean, think about that. I know you have two kids. How old are your kids now? Are they 2, 3 years old?
They're two. They turn two in December.
Okay, so you're not squatting down and walking around the house just to get your knees ready for the season. You're stretching and you're saving your knees. That.
Oh yes, yeah. Taking care of my knees, taking care of my legs as much as I can.
I mean, when I read that you had twins, I thought to myself, "Oh my God, I can't imagine." Because I can think back, no one could change a dirty diaper faster than me. Anybody can challenge me to this day. I can change a dirty diaper faster than anyone on the planet, but I can't imagine changing two sets of diapers nonstop I mean, how many diapers have you changed in the last 2 years?
You go through quite a few diapers. I'd say my wife definitely has me beat with the number of diapers that she's changed. But it does sometimes seem like it's nonstop when it's one, then it's the other, and if it's not one, then it is the other. So it's definitely you're keeping up with them. That's for sure.
Do you have the heated wipes for their bum? You know how they have the heated wipes. You don't have those.
Yeah, they don't get the heated wipes. They get the cold ones.
Do you, boy, you're hardcore. Do you have the diaper genie where you put the diaper in and you kind of move the handle and it disappears? Do you have one of those?
We do. We do have one of those, and it's a lifesaver as far as keeping the smell down. That's for sure.
It's funny how you're this baseball all-star catcher, and then you go home and you're the diaper genie guy. Isn't it crazy how you have two different lives? Because I look at my life, I'm here on the radio on WGN, but I go home and I'm the guy that takes out the garbage and does the laundry every day.
That's the truth. We all wear different sorts of hats at the field. You're a baseball player, and at home, your husband. You're putting on your dad hat. You're putting on the whatever hat it may be. But it is funny how you lead different lives that way.
I love it. We're talking to James McCann, White Sox catcher. High expectations for this team. What are your expectations? How many wins would you say you'd love?
Whatever it takes to get in the playoffs, and then once you get to the playoffs, you never know what can happen.
So that's it. So, you just want to get to the playoffs. It doesn't matter how many games you win. You just want to get to the playoffs.
That's the truth. It doesn't matter how many games you win. You just want to get to the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, depending upon how you get there, there's a certain number of wins from there to get a World Series ring, and those are the only wins that truly matter.
The buzz here in Chicago for the White Sox is huge. Have you talked to anyone in the city since you left?
I haven't talked to anybody since I've left, other than people that are associated with the organization. But I have seen stuff on social media and stuff on the news, and rightfully so. We have a good club that's been assembled, and I'm looking forward to a good season.
Right. I know Major League Baseball is still investigating the Astros, and I know you can't talk about it as a player, but as a catcher, I want to ask you, sign stealing's been around for a long time with players and coaches on the field. As a catcher, if you see a player on second base, you walk up to your pitcher and say, "We got to change the signs, or we got to do this."
Absolutely, it's something that I'm paying attention to is what the runner on second base is doing. If they're really honing in on our signs, or if they're not really paying attention. And you also know, guys have a reputation of being really good at stealing signs, and
right.
And then there's other guys that are out there, talking to the shortstop or talking to the second baseman that you can tell aren't paying any bit of attention to the signs.
Right.
As far as the sign stealing goes, it has been around for years. When talking about getting on second base and picking up signs, that's a little bit different than having a camera on the signs and whatever, whatever's going on there. But that's been around forever, is getting on second base and seeing if you can't pick up something off the pitcher, off the catcher.
Well, they always say the catcher sees the field differently. That's why catchers make great managers. I mean, do you ever get a feeling where a field coach, like a first base coach or a third base coach, may be honing in on something, and you talk to your pitchers about that?
Yeah, no, there's no question that you're always on the lookout for what potentially could be being picked up. And like I said, there's guys that have reputations of being able to pick up, literally everything. I played with a guy in Torrey Hunter, and it was amazing how many things he could pick up on, whether it be a pitcher coming set in a different spot for his breaking ball or his fastball or whatever it may be to, hey, watch the way the catcher sets up here. It's going to be an off-speed pitch. You can maybe steal a bag because you know it's going to be an off-speed pitch.
Right.
There's different guys that gain that reputation of being extremely intelligent and picking up on little things like that. And those are guys that you're really aware of.
It's you mentioned this. It's one thing to do it on the field, but it's another thing to have a camera and then the analytics and someone behind the scenes. It's just crazy. It really is. We're talking with James McCann, White Sox catcher. Ricky Renteria. How much do you love him? What kind of manager is he? Tell me a little bit about Ricky.
Ricky, he's awesome. He's an extremely good communicator. He's a guy that really cares about each individual, not just their performance on the field, but also what's going on off the field for them. paying attention to what's going on with somebody's family, what's going on back home, and just understanding that, you know, kind of like we talked about, there's so much more to each player than the on-field performance and the on-field stuff that is seen. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and he's very aware of that and understands that it's important to have that balance. From an on-field standpoint, he's very intelligent. He knows the game very well, and he communicates it well. And that's something that's really important with the manager, is being able to communicate to his staff, the bench right. coach and the pitching coach and everything, but also to the players.
How did it feel making the All-Star team last year?
Oh man, that was a dream come true. It was a lot of fun. It was something to dream of as a kid, and being able to partake in the All-Star festivities and be around some of the game's greatest players. That was memories that my family and I made that we'll never forget.
Right. Well, you got to get back there this year. No pressure, but we'd like to see you back as an All-Star catcher.
I like that.
James, you're the best, man. Thank you for coming on. Good luck with the Twins, and I'm talking your kids, not the Minnesota Twins, because we don't really like Minnesota, but good luck with them, too, and good luck in spring training. I'm sure we'll talk again during the season, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care. That is White Sox catcher James McCann. What a likable guy. I'm telling you, and I've heard John Williams say this about 100 times, this White Sox team is such a likable team. And you just want to follow these young players because they're hungry this year, and there are high expectations for the White Sox this year, that's for sure. All right, quick break. We're live at the Auto Show. If you want to come see us, we're right next to the Chevy display. It's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Tonight, the Hawks take their hunt for the wild card to Winnipeg to take on the Jets. Pre-game 5:30, John and Troy at 6.
Some people say they don't have much knee pain. Really, they're fine. Only hurts when they try to bend down or walk or get in the car, play ping pong or breathe. But you know, they're fine. Well, no, they're not. And if that person is you, do yourself a favor. Make one phone call to the Joint Relief Institute. Two locations with the same number. 708-888-0000. I'll give you that number again with a catchy little slogan in just a bit. First, the Joint Relief Institute does a wonderful job of getting their patients pain relief. In any joint, really. Knees for sure. Elbows. Shoulders. It's a Joint Relief Institute. And you've lived with that pain for so long, it's been such a gradual thing, you don't even think about it. Well, think about it. Let's dial that pain number down from an 8 to a 2. Remember, they handle the insurance and Medicare stuff for you, too. Talk about pain relief. Their website is jointreliefinstitute.com, and their number is 708-888. Here comes the catchy slogan part, 0000, as in zero pain.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.23%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to see this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Illinois Army National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
For help around the house with roofs, windows, kitchens, bathrooms, home additions, and basement remodels, trust the folks at Mega Pros. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to megapros.com.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray live at the Auto Show at the Chevy display. We're taking your text messages. We're talking old cars, by the way. 312-981-7200 or mileage on cars. I'm currently driving a 2010 Subaru Legacy. Boy, I don't even know what that is. By the time I reach my destination, I should hit exactly 160,000 miles. When you get to a certain place on your car, on your odometer, do you take a picture of it? Like when you hit 55, 555, 50,
yeah, I've done that. Okay. I got in my old Saturn. I got when I got to when I got to 999,000 or 99,999 just before 100. I took it.
What do you do with that picture?
Well, I don't have it anymore. It was on an old phone.
Exactly.
A few years ago.
Right. We're all taking pictures.
That was part of the digital hoarding. Part of it. Deleting it.
Which was a show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Let's see. 1959 F-350, 54,000 miles on it. You're kidding. 2001 F-350, 38,000 miles. 2009 F-350, 14,000 miles. Just a farmer. I love that, man. 67 Vette, 427, 435 horsepower, no AC, 120 degrees in the car, even when it was 40 outside. Had to sell it. What a shame. That's another thing. Back in the day, we were talking about rusted out floorboards in your old cars. The air conditioning would go, and it would cost $500, and your parents would say, no, just roll down the windows. We're not going to get the air fixed. God, that was the worst. And the humidity during the summer, think about that. You go to the mall and you lock the car?
Yeah. My uncle had a 1972 Datsun B210.
The Datsun.
Yeah. Completely rusted out, but it liked to go to the Chicago Stadium back in the day. He had 180,000 miles on it.
Oh, I bet it did. Smoke it up in the Datsun and then right inside the Chicago Stadium. That's what they did. 85 Chevy Chevette. The Chevy Chevette. I think the O'Briens had the Chevy Chevette. Superman blue. I put an enormous Superman decal on the hood and then pulled out in front of an old Cadillac. The Chevette did not follow the characteristics of the man in steel. Yes, it did not. I mean, Superman blue and you put the Superman decal on the hood. Okay. All right. The Superman Chevy Chevette. I'm currently, let's see, hold on a second. Easy, 200,000 miles on a Chrysler Town and Country. Bought it when my girls were babies, took them to college in it. That's great. See, I love that. I don't think we've had a car that long when Charlie was born. Boy, you used to keep cars a lot longer back in the day, didn't you? And they were junkers. And now you get these and you can lease it and then trade it right in. 2000 Chevy Silverado. 147,000 miles, still driving. 98 Bonneville, 333,000 and driving now. Please tell me, 630 area code, that 98 Bonneville is burgundy. That's my visual. The Cupfords across the street, growing up, had the burgundy Bonneville. You don't even know what that is, Curtis.
I'm looking at you with a blank stare.
It's
I have
like
no
a
idea.
Tank. Those are tanks. Miss those cars. 246,250,000 miles on an old Olds Bravada, 2002. Nice to hear you, Pete. This is Pat the Firefighter. I have a 2010 GMC Yukon with 196,000 miles. Can you give me the numbers of the guys who have the low-mileage old pickups? Oh, wow. Interesting. I'd like to gobble those up, too, because you know those people are taking care of their car. See, I live in the city. I go from, you know, Lincoln Park to downtown, so I'm not really driving my car that much. But the people that live out in the burbs, or if you're in Rockford or Peoria.
That was the sole purpose of the Saturn that my dad had that I was later given when I was growing up. It was basically purchased between getting from our house in Crystal Lake to O'Hare.
Right.
Because my dad traveled for work, and there was no need for a second car. Really, besides the fact when my dad needed to travel for work.
How many miles when you got rid of it?
Just about over 110. We would have kept it longer.
You should have kept it longer. Did it rust out? Oh, wait.
No,
Saturns are plastic.
But the issue was it needed a new transmission, and it needed the AC fixed, and the center console was broken.
The AC is the worst.
Yeah.
The center console? How'd you break it?
I don't know. Something. I think one of my buddies like elbowed it, and it snapped.
We had an old Ford LTD, and I think after the second year, the dashboard cracked in the hot sun.
Yeah.
And once it cracks, it's like, you're not going to buy a new dashboard, so we had to sit with that thing for another 8 years.
Well, and to replace a whole transmission on like a car like that, on an old Saturn, it was almost just like, well, you might as well use the money that you would have put into that towards a new car.
But this is cosmetic. And, of course, this is the station wagon that I had to take to prom. So you got a cracked dashboard. You got dents and dings on the side of the paneling. I mean, the things that we had to put up with. What a rough childhood. By the way, that Bonneville 630, it's black. Okay, not bad. My first car was a 72 Plymouth Duster. Those are cool cars. Manual trans on the column. Okay. They never. A lot of people don't talk about stick shifts anymore. Do people buy sticks? I had a stick. I had a Chevy Cavalier, the sky blue Cav, we called it. And I had a stick because I just wanted to play around.
Yeah, I think if you have to get like a muscle car, like a Corvette or something, I think you almost have to get stick for it, wouldn't it?
By the way, we're right next to the muscle cars here with the Camaros. That Camaro.
I keep looking over.
It is neon green. That's neon green, neon yellow, kind of a greenish yellow. I mean, it looks sharp with a black stripe on the trunk. I don't know if you noticed, but they have people waxing up these cars.
Yeah, keeping them clean.
That woman does it every 15 minutes since
we've
been
really?
Here. She walks over and shines up the car. I wonder if she sprays something on it.
She's definitely got a duster like in her hand.
Right next to the Chevy display, you can also check out the brand new 2020 Corvette. My suggestion would be to walk around to the side because there's so many people trying to take pictures of the Corvette. Beautiful car.
Yeah.
Over 250 miles an hour.
I can't wait to see go on the test tracks later on when we're done here. Riding one of the Jeeps.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's absolutely cool. Margaret, 312 area code, Saturn's Rock, 2007.
Yeah, they do.
150,000 miles on it. First car was red Saturn 2007. Okay. Thank you, Margaret, in Bridgeport. 51 Chevy with an old turn signals that was polka dotted with rust, but it was mine. I was 17 with a standard transmission. Boy, that puppy could run. Thank you, 309 area code. My sister had, what kind of Oldsmobile was it? It was so cold. She lived in Minnesota for 2 years, my sister Diana, and it was so cold that the blinker broke off. And of course, you know, a blinker, if you had to change a blinker back in the day, it was like $1,000. So we used to have, we finally bought the car back from her, and we used to keep a rubber band around it to put the blinker on the car.
One of my friends in high school, we were driving to...
That's so dumb.
We were driving to Portillo's in high school, and one of my friends, her side mirror was falling off while we were driving down the street.
Oh, believe me. We drove around to hold the thing for the shotgun.
Or
duct tape. That's what duct tape was for.
Yeah.
Yes, the side mirror. I mean, think about it now. If you break your side mirror, they're turnkey. It's $200.
Yeah.
It's simple. Back in the day, $15,000.
Well, the other thing, too, is I think the side mirrors are actually mounted a lot more sturdier.
Mm-hmm.
At least, like, on my car, like, there's a blind spot
camera.
Well,
they also give, too, if they get hit. They give both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
But back in the day, I know you don't remember this, but they were chrome. And the bumpers were chrome. And I know, granted, the cars were tanks, but if you dented your bumper or if you broke off your side mirror, I mean, you know, $10,000. It's ridiculous. It was crazy. So you never got those fixed back in the day. 815 area code, first car, 69 Mustang Coupe. Boy, I bet that was beautiful. How fast was that car? Man. My first car was a Nissan Sentra, 847 area code, ended up with hail damage, and it became the golf ball. We all, you know, I had a black car, Black Betty, sky blue Cav, the John Cougar, the pink Cadillac. Yeah. Was your Saturn, did it have a nickname?
The Batmobile.
The Batmobile.
Yeah.
Why was Saturn the Batmobile?
It was like very low riding, like as a sedan, very low riding, literally all black on the inside, leather interior, black leather. Steering wheel black. Everything about the inside of that car was black.
So funny.
So we just called it the Batmobile. It would have been funny if I got like a Batman logo and put it like on the hood or on the bumper sticker on the back. That would have been more official. But
I mean, when you talk about these old cars, it takes you back. I mean, we're all happy when we talk about these because it takes you back to a memory or a time in your life that just kind of makes you smile.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the station wagon was beat up and I went to prom in a beat up station wagon, you know, those are fun times.
Yeah.
They were. Makes me think of picking up Jimmy OB and we'd go to football together. It's good stuff. 815 area code, 1988 Ford Crown Vic. The Ford Crown Vic LTD 457 was a tank. Wow. that was a tank car. The AC still works. Heat still works. Same train engine, 5.0 liter. Interior bench seats, 815 area code. They still drive the 1988 Ford Crown Vic. That was a tank. What was the... I can't think of it now. I know someone will text me. What was the car with the suicide doors? Was that the Lincoln? Was that the Lincoln? Bob the engineer is shaking his head. The Lincoln had the suicide doors, right? The black Lincoln? I love that. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're at the Chicago Auto Show taking texts. We're also taking calls if you want to get on the air. Talking old cars, old mileage on cars. First car, 84 Renault Alliance. No air, no radio, no belts and whistles. No bells and whistles. Paid $50 for it. Could you imagine not having... Thank you, 574 area code. It was the Lincoln with the suicide doors. Could you imagine having a car today with no air conditioning? Could you imagine having a car where you'd have to put the key in the lock just to open the door? We are so spoiled now as car owners. Okay, you click it open. Some people can start their car from their house and heat it up by the time. We have heated seats now. Do you have heated seats in your car?
Not in my Civic, no.
Okay. Now they have heated steering wheels. Whew. That would be great to have a heated steering wheel. Oh, come on. The Lincoln Continental with suicide doors. The Ford Fairmont, 815 area code. First car. Okay. I like that. 312-981-7200, our phone number. Coming up after 4 o'clock, we're going to talk to Sammy Hagar at 415. Sammy's coming to town. Great friend of the show. Sammy just wished Eddie Van Halen a happy birthday on Instagram. We had Michael Anthony. I couldn't think of Michael's last name. We had Michael Anthony on the show 2 weeks ago. Michael talked about that Van Halen reunion. We'll talk to Sammy about that again. Sammy will be on at 4:15 today. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's Pete McMurray live at the Auto Show at 720 WGN.
Hi, I'm Brian Scudamore from 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
You only brought two of them?
These two can do anything.
Are you saying those online reviews are real?
Point at something you wish would disappear, ma'am.
Well, I'd like to see that gone. Those online reviews are real. What are you doing now?
I'm sweeping up the spot where it was.
You were here in less than 90 minutes.
And we work until midnight, 7 days a week.
All you have to do is point. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Hi, Saver. Looking for ways to save on your Medicare Part D copays? We love that at Walgreens. We're a preferred network pharmacy with many plans nationwide, which could mean lower copays for you. Bring your prescriptions to a Walgreens pharmacy and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Walgreens participates as a preferred network pharmacy with United Healthcare, Cigna, and Express Scripts Medicare. Walgreens participates with other plans. See walgreens.com/Medicare for details.
Vaping among youth has reached epidemic levels. Join the DuPage County Prevention Leadership Team and WGN Radio's Pete McMurray for an important conversation around youth vaping prevention and be part of the solution. It's the Youth Vaping Prevention Listening Session this Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m. at DuPage County Health Department in Wheaton. You'll hear from local students, health professionals, and advocates working on this issue. Monday night at DuPage County Health Department. For more info, visit dupagept.org.
We got some great news from Anderson's Candy Shop. During the 2019 holidays, more than 800 of you bought give back boxes, and because of you, the Andersons just presented a check for more than $4,900 to the Family Health Partnership Clinic in Crystal Lake. Your chocolate purchases are now literally helping provide health care to the uninsured. And because of your generosity, the Andersons are sweet on you. As thanks, the family of candy makers has decided to hold their chocolate-covered strawberry prices for the third year in a row. Yep, those sweet, juicy berries covered in Anderson's rich, thick chocolate are back for Valentine's Day. Call in your order at 888-214-7614 or shop andersonscandyshop.com. And while you're online, check out Anderson's entire selection of seriously delicious chocolates, from your kids and coworkers to your sweetheart and more. Anderson's has what you need. That Anderson's Candy Shop in Richmond and Barrington, because when it comes to sweet family business, and the best experience for Valentine's Day. Nothing beats these treats. It is Pete McMurray. We're live at the auto show. We got a packed house. By the way, we mentioned this a few times during the show. When we mentioned McCormick Place, people freak out and they're like, we're not coming downtown. It is simple to get to McCormick Place. And if you're thinking, it's a hassle to get parking, simple. They have every single garage open. You get lost. All you have to do is they have so many people around that are here to help and give information. If you don't want to drive to McCormick Place, you can drive downtown Millennium Park. There's certain garages and areas in Chicago that are giving free shuttles here to McCormick Place. They're making it very easy. Public transportation. You download the app of the auto show. You're going to save $3 on tickets. So this is it's very easy and fun for the Chicago Auto Show. It goes through President's Day. We highly encourage you. And by the way, it's just not cars. Interactive, certain type of programs. They also have, it seems like, every single restaurant here in Chicago on the main concourse. So you're going to come here. You're going to have some great food. You're going to have some interactive events. And you're going to have a great time and check out some cars. The Chicago Auto Show. We're talking old cars. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's go to Marty. All right, Marty.
You got him, Pete. Listen, I want two things I want to pass on to you. I just came from a luncheon in memory of the founder of the Tri-Chevy Association of Illinois, who passed away last night. And his name was Rodney Brockman, and it was a 50-year-old organization, okay?
Okay.
50 years old.
Wow.
And now the second thing I want to tell you, my first car ever was a 48 Plymouth Club Coupe. Six-cylinder with a Spitfire engine, and I was 17 and a half, 18 years old. My second car was a 55 Chevy Bel Air, brand new, came back with a pocket full of money from overseas, and it was $2,150 loaded.
Oh, wow.
$2,150, two-door Bel Air hardtop, the sweetest car in the world. I now own a 57 Chevy restored 210 sedan, six-cylinder, four-door, with 140 horsepower, six-cylinder.
Wow.
And it has 319,000 miles on the original engine. I purchased it with 200,000 on it.
When do you drive that car, Marty? Do you have to wait until summertime because you're worried about the salt?
No, I've taken the car on Route 66 from Chicago to California six times.
What?
Six times. We go for a long period. I've been retired for 22 years now. 32 years. So I got a lot of time and a few bucks.
I understand that, Marty. Can I ask your age?
86.
86 years old. You're driving from Chicago to California on Route 66 in a 57 Chevy with no air conditioning.
No air conditioning. I got vented windows.
People remember the vented windows.
I do have a cassette player.
And
I have a CB radio that talk on the road with people. Have so many beautiful comments about the 1950s.
Wow.
The whole country was standing up on its head, you know? Beautiful.
I love that, Marty. I mean, that is such a great story. And thank you for your service, my friend. Have a great Sunday. Thank you for calling.
God bless you for doing what you're doing.
All right. Thanks, Marty. I'm not doing anything. I'm just taking phone calls from you and text messages. That is a great story. Can you imagine driving from Chicago to California in a 57 Chevy, which is a tank, just a beautiful car, but no air conditioning? Wow. The vented windows. That is a great answer. Let's go to Kathy in Oak Brook. Kathy, welcome.
Hi, Pete. What a great story Marty had. I took that trip when I was younger. My father and mother drove myself and my brothers and sisters, you know, to Wally World. You know, we took that in 66 to Walt Disney World, like I'm sure everybody else did. And it was a great trip. And our car, I think it was a Cadillac. We didn't have any air conditioning, though, in it either. But I just don't know how they did that without any credit cards. You know, or telephones anything. I mean,
You're right
from Chicago there. But this is not my first car, but my car that I'm driving is like driving in your living room. I always say I'm driving my living room around, and there's two people in the world. there's people who tell me that I should sell the car and get a brand new car, and there's other people that say don't give it up, it's a classic. It's a 1997 Mercedes S320.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's like a pink. It's like a black. It's like a pink. It's got the moonroof. It has
yep.
telephone in built into the car underneath your armrest.
Oh, sure.
It has the antenna in the windshield.
Yep.
The seats are, you've got a nice, big, huge back seat where people only have their knees in their mouth. And I just love it. I have 241,596 miles on it. Actually, I'm sitting in it right now.
Please tell me that you're using the phone that is attached to the car. Are you using the phone?
No, no. Actually, no, I'm not. I wish I was. That would have been really cool if I said I was doing it. I could lie, but I won't lie. I'm using my iPhone, so which I got, you know, I kind of jumped into the iPhone world. But when we talk about nostalgia, this car had a lot of features on it that back in 1997 was really
well, sure.
popular. And so it's kind of a fun thing. It's definitely a conversation starter. When I get it washed, someone's either saying, "Wow, what a great car," or somebody else is saying, "Gee, when
well, Kathy,
you get a new car,
Kathy, you got to. I think you got to hold on to it. I mean, it sounds like you're just in love with this car. You got to hold on to it.
I'm in love with it. I just love this car. A little bit of a rust problem, but other than that, it's worth, you know, instead of buying a new car.
We'll find you, Kathy.
Keeping it up.
We'll find you a guy to fix that rust. Somebody can clean that up right now. I'm telling you, I'm going to get text messages, people wanting to buy it or restore it. Don't sell it. Don't do it.
Pete, you're going to find me a guy? It's been years. Wait a minute.
We'll save that for the Valentine's show. Kathy, I got to run. We got to do news, top of the hour. But thank you so much. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks so much. Okay, pal. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. She's got to hold on to that 97 Benz. I mean, that is just a beautiful car. All right. It's Pete McMurray. We're live at the Auto Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And we'll talk to Sammy Hagar at 415. Okay? It is 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray. We're live at the Auto Show right next to the Chevy display. If you'd like to come out and see us, they have something for the whole family. Of course, they have great cars, the brand new cars, the concept cars. You can see the race cars, just about anything here. But they also have interactive displays for kids, for adults. They have a band where you can put on the guitar. They'll take your picture. You can turn into a superhero with a computer-generated image. Also, they have some of the best food out here from Chicago and easy parking. Or is it easy out parking? I think it's some of the same. One of the same. Easy parking, easy out parking. Yes. So come and join us at the Auto Show or stop by sometime this week. Tomorrow, I'm going to be hanging out in Wheaton. I'm hosting a community vaping event that is open to the public tomorrow at the DuPage County Health Department. Joining us from the DuPage County Health Department is Mila Sagalis. Mila, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Pete. Thank you for having me.
This is a huge issue for parents that have teens, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is a big issue for teens and parents alike because they both have to be on the same page about what vaping is and what the dangers are.
I mean, these are e-cigarettes. Why is this such a problem? Because these were marked as a healthier smoking, if there's such a thing, right?
Yes, that's true. And I think while that may be the case for adults, I think that is the marketing plan for youth. It is it's much different because for youth, the result has been that many kids initiate nicotine use with vaping. And research shows that youth that vape are four times more likely to begin smoking cigarettes.
Can you explain to people what e-cigarettes basically are? It is smoking, but about 100 times worse, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's a device that provides nicotine or whatever's in the vape liquid as a, you know, something that's inhaled then. There's flavoring, and, you know, the actual vaping device sometimes can be adjusted to have other things in it as well.
Right, of course. We've seen an increase nationally in vaping in DuPage County. How much of an increase have you seen with high school kids?
Well, in DuPage County, we're no different. We have seen an increase in high school kids. In 2018, nearly 20% of our middle school and high school students reported vaping. And while that is alarming, 50% of the kids reported little or no risk of personal harm. So that's where you really want to pay attention and provide some education. Those vaping devices and flavors have been designed to attract kids, and they're often faced with ads and videos promoting the industry. This can be very challenging for parents because the devices themselves are easy to conceal.
Right, they are. You can hide them anywhere, and they look like jump drives from computers, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Wow. We hear about vape. I mean, the last few years, vaping has become very, very popular. Why is that?
Well, you know, again, the flavors, I think, are a big part of it. It's a gadget. It's a device. And, you know, it's a way to use a substance, and it's very easy to conceal.
With vaping, I'm sure it's addictive, right? Just like smoking?
Yes, it is addictive. It's, you know, the nicotine is still there. So it is addictive. The CDC reported that 99% of vaping products contain nicotine. And in fact, the new delivery system through the vape device, I think, is because it's so attractive, you don't know maybe how much you're taking in. Where before, someone could look at a pack of cigarettes and have an idea, a vaping device is different.
Well, Mila, how do you explain to kids that want to be cool in high school when they see their social influencer on YouTube vaping?
Well, you know, Pete, that's why we want to have this event on Monday night, because it's really important to talk to teens about the challenges they face with this issue. Because you're right, they see their peers doing it, they see people that they admire or follow doing it. So
right.
We need their input on what schools and parents can do to find solutions.
The event is tomorrow night from 6 to 7 at the DuPage County Health Department, which is 111 County Farm Road in Wheaton. We're going to be in the lower level conference room, right?
Yes, that's right.
I hosted an opioid roundtable about 2 years ago. We had a packed house, so I would encourage people to arrive earlier, and I would encourage parents and grandparents to bring their kids along so they both can learn the entire process. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I would agree. It's great for everybody.
And are you going to have teenagers speaking at the event?
We are. In DuPage County, we have a group of teens that have been really working hard on policy issues around tobacco. They've been successful with Tobacco 21, early adoption here in their communities in Illinois. They have encouraged smoke-free parks in their communities. So they're going to speak. They're going to talk about what they know and what they see. We will also have some school administration present and also some of our local state legislators to talk about what they think they can do. So maybe together we can come up with some solutions that work.
Mila, someone brought this up to me the other day. The vaping of today is like the smoking of the 70s. We suddenly realize, oh, my gosh, this is bad for us, and we got to teach the kids not to do it.
Yes, I mean, it's really exactly right. What is old is new again. So, you know, teens are smart. The factual information and the information and education we provide them is very important. But this is a whole new take on using nicotine and other substances. So we really need to focus on a holistic approach and what will work for young people so that we can start preventing people that are, you know, going to engage in substance use for a lifetime.
We have parents and grandparents that are listening right now. I have a 14-year-old. You have a teenager, right?
I do. I have a 15-year-old.
We encourage them to come to the event, but what can you tell them now for the people that are listening that startled you the most? The fact that you found out that you said, oh, my gosh, I need to pass this along to other people.
I think it is startling to know that this industry is really not that regulated. So you really have to pay attention to what's in the vaping devices. Vaping devices can be used for lots of things, even besides nicotine. So for kids who think that it's something natural or maybe it's something that's safer, those are conversations to have. It's also important to look at the long-term effects.
Right.
In Illinois, we had over 200 cases of vaping-related lung illnesses. And, you know, we had kids as young as 13 that were impacted by that. So this is important, and it is important for parents, grandparents, school administrators, everyone to pay attention to.
I mean, we all remember when we were teenagers in college, and when we were in college, we didn't listen to anyone. How do you get teens to listen nowadays?
Well, I think that peer-to-peer education is important and engaging
yes.
teens in these conversations because they listen to each other, and you know, it took us many years to reduce youth smoking rates, but we, you know, it did happen. And so this is something that can be done. I think by involving teens and getting their input is important for them as youth leaders and then also for them to impact their friends.
How do you find these teens for the event tomorrow night?
Well, many of them have been working with us over the course of their high school years. So, and they've modeled, you know, seniors model freshmen. So we've been working with them. They meet monthly. in Glen Ellen at the District 87 office. So we work with them on a regular basis, and they've been really great leaders.
Boy, I got to tell you, you guys are really on this at the DuPage County Health Department. When you did the opioid roundtable, I was so impressed with the turnout and the community leaders that showed up. I can't wait for this vaping thing because, again, I said that I have a teenager, you have a teenager, a lot of people listening have teenagers that are grandkids or kids. I mean, good for you guys for doing this.
Well, thank you. We're really excited you're coming, and we look forward to another packed house to have some discussions on this and find some solutions.
So 111 North County Farm Road in Wheaton at the DuPage County Health Department. It starts at 6. I encourage people to show up around 5:30 because it will be a packed house tomorrow, and it is absolutely free to the public.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to say that. Mila, thanks so much, and we'll see you tomorrow night, okay?
All right, great. Thank you very much.
All right, that is Mila Sagalis from the DuPage County Health Department. Tomorrow I will be sitting in on a community event. It's talking about vaping, and I'm sure you know a kid that's a teenager or you have a grandkid that's a teenager. It's 1 hour. We wanted to make it an hour so we can get the information in there, and then you can go home and have dinner. So that is tomorrow night again from 6 to 7 at the DuPage County Health Department. All right, we're live at the auto show right next to the Chevy display. Quick break. It's 720 WGN. All right, it's Pete McMurray live at the auto show. When it comes to weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV. I know we've been sitting inside at McCormick Place. Is it still snowing outside? That's the thing. Do we have any idea? We have no clue.
I've been going through social media over the break.
Yes.
It still looks like it's snowing a little
bit
outside.
Still looks like it's snowing. Okay. Gotcha. Do we have Sammy on the line, or did we lose him again?
I think they're working on it.
Okay. Sammy's calling. I'm sure he's on a private jet or a bus somewhere, and we're trying to get him on the line. Sammy Hagar is coming to town along with Whitesnake and Night Ranger on Friday, August 14th. As soon as we get him back on the phone, we'll bring him up. We're live at the auto show next to the Chevy display. Do want to mention the Corvette is probably one of the most popular cars in the Chevy area. There is a group of people around the Corvette, but it's brand spanking new, a 2020 model. And it is just gorgeous.
It is worth noting that the crowd has kind of died down a little bit now. So if you're still thinking of coming out today,
they're only 17 deep.
Yeah, you can still make it out before 10 o'clock when they close tonight.
Here's the deal: everybody wants to come out early during the day. You come out after work. That's the key. If I can give you guys some pearls here, and I know it ends on President's Day, and a lot of people are going to stop by on President's Day. But you know, again, if you're thinking about next weekend, I know the kids are busy during the week, but anytime after 6 o'clock, they're open for 4 hours. That is the key. Talking about old cars too, 312-981-7200, taking your text messages and your phone calls. 815 area code. 1970, I bought a 67 Ford Galaxy 500, paid $1,200 for it. 3 years later, I traded it in for a brand new Cutlass. They gave me $1,200 in trade. The Cutlass was $3,600. This is like a math problem. When I traded the Cutlass in for a 76 Cutlass Supreme, I got $3,000 for the trade. What a deal. That is so true. So you actually paid $600 for two different cars, and they were both brand new. Good for you. The Cutlass Supreme. Gosh, I remember that car. I think my buddy Peoria Joe's dad had one of those. He drove it forever. First car, 65 Cadillac. Wow. The old Cadillacs with the fins. Oh, my gosh. I love those old Caddies. My grandparents had those for years and years. A brand new Cadillac. Fantastic. When I met my husband, this is 847 area code. When I met my husband, he had a 1970 Boss 302 Mustang avocado green color with black slats. I think that's seats, right? Blue engine driving to Tinley Park to pick me up. He called it Gotham City. Okay, our first car together, 1972 Buick Skylark. So let me get this straight. His first car was a 70 Boss 302 Mustang avocado green. You know what? For some reason, the muscle cars, it doesn't matter what color you put on them. They're going to look great. I mean, in front of us, we have a brand spanking new 2020 Camaro that's neon green, yellowish. I would take that car in a heartbeat. I love it. My first car was a 73 Toyota Carina, Army Green. Paid $27.50 brand new. I mean, what was it with the 70s? The avocado green, even the appliances were green. Have you seen that the appliances are, the green is coming back with the appliances, but it's just a little darker avocado green?
I have seen that.
It's terrible. Absolutely. The green back in the day, just the worst. Let's see, a 1990 Geo Prism hatchback. I remember those. Red. Bought it for $500. Boy, that's when you could buy a car for $500, $1,000, $1,500 and still drive it. Let's see. Oh, this didn't update here. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I drive for a living, 630 area code, a 2011 Ford van that has 504,000 miles on it so far. Replaced the motor and transmission. Wow. That is interesting. 67 Plymouth Belvedere. Bought it from my neighbor for a dollar. Rusty front end, 318 V8. Rear view mirror kept dropping off. Huge trunk. Those trunks back in the day, especially the Cadillacs, the Crown Vicks, and I'm sure the Plymouth Belvedere was a big car. I mean, you could fit like five golf bags in there and a dead body if you wanted to. But it is Chicago. You never know. 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls, too, if you don't feel like texting in. My first car was a Triumph TR6. 1973, it cost $4,200 out the door. 219, that seems like a lot of money in the early 70s. Brand new car, $4,200. Maybe I'm wrong.
608 number, 1967 Plymouth Belvedere. Bought from the neighbor for $1. Rusty front end, 318 V8, rear view mirror kept dropping off. Oh, you said this already, the huge trunk.
I did, the huge trunk. That's okay. You don't remember this, but the trunks were huge. They were enormous back in the day. And they actually had a real spare tire, not the donut.
Yeah, not hiding underneath anything either.
You know what drives me crazy? And I should have talked to this about some of the car guys. And we have a car guy coming up at 4:30. The old jacks were so easy to use. I know they were big, but the new jacks, they're garbage.
Yeah.
I can't stand the new jacks to try to change a tire. I blew a tire last March driving north on LaSalle right when I got to, what was it? It was Kinsey, a huge pothole. Blew a tire. Had to pull over at the BP on Ontario and LaSalle and change my tire. Took me forever because I couldn't get the jack to work. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And then I had to pull up YouTube, and it's like, what am I doing here? Okay, everything seems to be right, and finally worked. Actually, a guy came up. I think it was some homeless dude that I paid $20 to help me. I'm not kidding. That is a true, honest, true story. Well, why didn't you get money back from the city? It was a pothole. Have you ever tried that?
No.
I tried it like 5 years ago. Forget it.
I try avoiding the red light cameras and the speeding cameras around the city because they're everywhere. They're everywhere nowadays.
I bought my first car from my sister, a silver 77 Camaro with Z-Bart rust protection, and sold it for $3,000 and bought a new 1984 Cavalier. My Cav, I want to say, was an 86, so we both had the mid-80s Cavaliers. I like it. The 77 Camaro with Z-Bart rust protection, that was a big deal. And now it's standard on all the cars. Well, most of the parts are plastic, it seems like. 708 area code. In 1970, I bought a brand new Cutlass Supreme 455 engine 4-speed. Paid $3,300 for it. Drove it 15 years and sold it for $5,000. Wow. I got to learn that. That's great stuff right there. I love it. Old car stories. We're at the Chicago Auto Show. 312-981-7200. Do you have one? You looked at me. Like you were going to read something.
I was going to say, I just bought my daughter her first car. It's a 1993 Volvo, one owner, 85,000 miles, stick shift.
If you can find a car like that, you have to jump on it. Absolutely, you have to do that.
Yeah.
Or you know, it's an old guy or an old lady that's been sitting in their garage for years and they didn't want to get rid of it. Those are the cars that you want to buy, that you know they took care of them.
But do people still teach younger drivers stick shift? I've never learned stick shift.
I learned stick shift, not a lie, on a moving truck.
Really?
Yes. Move the stick shift, learn the stick shift on a huge moving truck. I did. Okay. All right. Are we going to take a quick break here? Let's take a quick break. All right. Quick break. Quick break. We're live at the auto show. It's 720. More from the auto show at 720 WGN. The Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive, patient-centered healthcare experience at their dental institute, family medicine clinic, speech-language institute, physical therapy institute, and eye institute. At their clinics, you'll receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. You can learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care. We're live at the auto show. We mentioned this a few times. Besides unbelievable cars, concept cars, new cars, just all kinds of cars, they also have interactive displays for adults and children, and just an unbelievable food selection. They're open here until 10 o'clock, most days until 10. If you want to come by the auto show, I know kids go to school during the week, but if you can pop out here at dinner time, that's what we say. That's the sweet spot. We're talking about old cars. Real quick, let's go to Mike on the line in Chicago. Mike, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I wanted a GTO, but I got a 1971 Pontiac Ventura, which was supposed to replace it with all this sports package, you know, and the rally wheels and the interior, everything. It was a dog. It was terrible.
Yeah, that's too bad, Mike. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I know, and I paid $7,800 for it.
Oh, that's rough. In 1971, you paid $7,800?
Yes.
That's a bit stiff.
Because it
right
was
there.
The car. They said, the GTO has been discontinued in 1970.
Wow.
Well, I said, well, what do you got that's nicer? And I was only, 18 years old.
You didn't know any better.
Oh, we got the Pontiac Ventura.
Right.
And what a dog. I would love to hear Pontiac defend that car.
A GTO to that. Thank you, Mike. Have a great day. Let's go to Patrick real quick in Rolling Meadows. Patrick, you're on the
air. Yes, sir. I had a 72 Dodge Dart that I bought for my buddy's mom. It was completely rusted out. So bad that we went to shoot hoops one day. We left. We're driving like a block away. Had to stop because the car wouldn't go anywhere. And we're like, what's going on here? My buddy stops. He opens his door. He's in the passenger seat. He says, looks underneath the car. He says, go in reverse. I go in reverse. He's like, all right, stop. Hops out, grabs the back seat belt that had fallen out through the rust hole and had gone underneath my back tire and stopped us from going anywhere.
That is fantastic. That I mean, why did those floorboards rust out so much? I know it took a few years.
It was bad metal.
It was. Thanks, buddy. Have a great day. Thank you, Patrick. All right, we're live at the auto show. We got to bring in the guy that's, you've seen the Blackhawks custom Camaros year after year, especially here at the auto show. They give these away every single year, right? They give these puppies away, and this year they have a new one. Let's bring in Corey Polka, the general manager from Real Wheels Corporation in Gurnee. Thank you for coming out. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, Pete. It's a pleasure.
So you're the guy that did the custom Camaros for years.
Yeah. Yeah, we started about a decade ago, and we've done one every year since then.
And this year, what is the car that you did for the Blackhawks?
This year they switched it up from a Camaro, made it over to the new Blazer.
So the 2020 Blazer, the brand new one?
Yep, so it's a 2020 Blazer, all Blackhawks themed inside and out, and yeah, completely redone.
Do the guys from the Hawks come over and give you some pointers, or do you just do it and say, this is what we're going to do? Do you have to go to the front office? Who are you talking to? Are you talking to Pete?
So we used to talk to, you know, the Hawks to get approval on logo placement and stuff
right.
like that.
Sure.
It's since been, you know, go ahead and build it.
Well, they
and
trust then, you now.
And then afterwards, though, we seem to get the criticism from, like, Hayes and Kane and, you know, whose number's on what side, stuff like that.
Which side do they want?
Well, you know, we put Taze typically on the driver's side since he's the captain. And last year we actually switched it up for the first time and put Kane over there. And,
really? He didn't like that?
Kane didn't mind, but, yeah, Taze not too happy with that.
Of course. Yeah. And this year, what does it look like? Paint a picture for me with the Trailblazer. By the way, you've had a great relationship with Chevy and the Blackhawks. I mean, what a great trio. For how many years has it been again?
Yeah, it's been 10 years now.
10 we started, years?
Yeah, in 2010 we started. Yeah, so this year's car, it started as a stock Blazer. It was the RS trim.
Which,
so,
by the way, the 2020 Blazer is absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, I mean, they really tweaked this one.
Definitely. It's very Camaro-inspired.
How would you explain it as a car guy? Can you give people the visual? Because it's very sleek. It doesn't look like the Blazers from the past.
Right. Definitely not like the Blazers. It is a, you know, midsize SUV. It's the headlights, the grill, the taillights, all of that inspired by the Camaro. So it's a very sporty feel to it.
Right.
The interior is almost identical. It has the same style vents, the same kind of lights.
Wow.
The same dashboard, pretty much layout. It's a really cool looking car.
When I was checking out the Chevy display before the show, of course, everyone was at Corvette, but the second biggest display was the Blazer.
Yeah, they're getting quite the crowd over there for sure.
Definitely. All right, go ahead and paint a picture. What does the Blackhawks logos and everything on this Blazer look like?
Yeah, so we started with just a stock red RS Blazer. We took it, added a whole Blackhawks theme to it. So it has a white stripe down the center. It's pinned in black. The hood is black itself. And then as you go to like the wheels, they're like a hockey puck inspired. So that's Chevrolet Blackhawks with Indian heads on it.
How do you come up with that? That is such a great idea.
I guess
circles, they kind of work. But yeah,
but if you look at them, they're like flat. They look a lot like a hockey puck. And then you add the Hawks logos and stuff to it from there.
Right.
And when you get into the interior, the seats are all custom. They look like hockey kind of inspired interior.
Okay.
You get the Blackhawks emblems in there. The pedals are custom billet aluminum with the Indian heads machined in them. The door sills say like "Let's go Hawks."
Wow.
And then you got LED lights throughout the whole thing. When you open the door, it's actually like a puddle light, and the Hawks logo projects down on the ground.
So. I mean, I can't imagine the meaning that you guys have. Okay, we got the auto show coming up. Blackhawks need something big this year. What are we going to do? Let's do the Blazer. It's brand new.
Well, that was actually Ellie Hillstrom. She's the one that switched it up.
That was Ellie's idea?
Yep. Ellie's the one who said to go ahead and switch it over from the Camaro. Yeah, and now you get a vehicle that could be driven year-round here in Chicago.
Right.
I think it's going to get a lot more use. The Camaros are fun. There's no doubt about it.
Of course.
But it's definitely more of a summertime thing.
Right. I mean, and you guys give this away every year.
Yeah, it gets given away, ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Right. You go to the website. Anybody can do it.
Yep.
Somebody's got to win. It should be you.
Yeah, what's cool is you actually win the car. It's not you're signed up for some raffle, $100 ticket, anything else.
Yeah.
Somebody wins this thing, one out of X amount of people, but you win it.
And think about it. I mean, what great publicity for the Blackhawks and Chevy, whoever's driving this around Chicago, because they want to show it off. I'd love to have this thing.
Oh, definitely. It is a cool car. It's got over 308 horsepower, I think is what it is.
Right.
It handles really well. It's definitely nice.
We're talking to Corey Polka, the GM from Real Wheels Corporation in Gurnee. What kind of cars are you doing? What kind of people bringing their cars? What are you putting on cars? What are you doing?
So our main business is we're a manufacturer. We make parts for everything from semi-trucks, fire trucks, all the way down to something as small as like a smart car.
Really?
So we do a lot of promotional and project vehicles like this for companies. In the past, we've done like a Cheap Trick Avalanche. With the band. We worked in conjunction with
Rick call you up and say, hey, guys, I got an idea.
Yeah, we actually contacted them and asked them, and he was all for it. He liked it so much. He said, hey, I got a smart car. Will you build it for me like the Avalanche? So we picked up his smart car, drove over there to his house, picked it up. We decked the whole thing out and brought it back to him.
Oh, my gosh. He's a huge car guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick. He is. Did he show you his old Corvette?
I saw one of them over there. Yeah.
He's got a lot of cars. I mean, he's got a beautiful house and I think, like a six-car garage, but he keeps his cars over in a warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a car guy. And that's why we were surprised when he said, hey, I got this smart car. You know, do you want to work on that? But, yeah, it all worked out.
Was it checkerboard? Give me the visual. He's driving around Rockford in this thing?
I don't know if he still got it. The wheels were all done in, like, checkerboard type pattern. We did the same thing with the Avalanche. And when we built that Avalanche, it had the running boards were actually like drumsticks.
Right.
The side mirrors were all done like guitar heads.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's like, I love it. I need my mirror to look like that in the smart car. So we made his rearview mirror one of these custom billet aluminum machined, you know, guitar heads that go on there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow. It's funny to have the visual of Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, this huge rock star icon guitarist, driving around in a smart car.
I know.
With a checkerboard, the Cheap Trick logo.
Yeah.
What are some other things for other celebrities that you've met?
You know, we've done one for Chris Angel when he was going really big into his shows.
Sure.
And, before he signed with his Cirque du Soleil and all that. And we first started with his Dodge Viper. I actually went to Vegas to go pitch him on this idea of having a, you know, magic-themed vehicle. And he brought us up to his suite. He sat us down on his bed in his bedroom. And he said, hey, you know, you guys need to go to me. You know, don't go to Lance Burton or any of these other guys. I'm the guy. You know, pick me to build this vehicle around. And so we absolutely agreed. You know, we wanted to be a part of it.
Right.
And we did a custom Hummer that was absolutely insane. I mean, I'm talking like the door handles used.
Are you kidding me? Really?
Oh, it's used sensors. So you'd swipe your hand in front of it and the doors would open.
Sure.
It had a card launcher out of the front. If you were looking at the front, we had one of the Chris Angel symbols, and it had a little red light at it, and people would go to touch it, and when it did, it shot like a blast of air at them, and just different types of tricks and fun little things.
Oh my gosh, is that great.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
How do you find these people? You come up with these ideas. I know Rick came to you, but Chris Angel, how does he find you, or how do these celebrities find you?
Yeah, like I said, that one was, you know, a project that we wanted to do. We've done stuff from, like, Donovan McNabb, asked for getting some custom parts made with, you know, his DM5 logo. We've done some stuff with Matt Forte making, you know, custom pedals and shifters for his Camaro that he did using his logo. I'm not sure how they find us. I think a lot of word of mouth type deal.
How long have you been in Gurnee?
We've been in business about 40 years. We've been in Gurnee for probably about 20, 25, somewhere
in there. Isn't that great? I mean, people know you all over the United States, probably all over the world now.
Well, I'd like to think so.
And what are you working on now that we would say, wow, that's pretty cool?
Yeah, right now, believe it or not, it's like custom fire trucks and tow trucks that we got going.
For what? For events?
Just like there's shows for this, there's shows like this for the fire industry and towing industries. And yeah. And
so they need jacked up fire trucks and ambulance?
A lot of chrome. You know, firemen like chrome. And yeah, so we definitely do stuff like that. And yeah, the tow trucks, they're just wild guys anyways.
You get a celebrity that called you up and said, I need you to do this, and you're like, no way. It's not going to happen.
I think,
or maybe a crazy rich person.
You know, I think it would depend what it is. You know, I'm always up for a challenge. So,
said no to anybody?
I can't say I've said no on building a vehicle. Maybe no on specific things. Like if they wanted, you know, something just absolutely insane or ridiculous or impossible to meet a deadline.
Right.
But other than that, yeah, we try to do the best we can.
I mean, I can't believe where we've come from with cars and decorating and adding these extra bells and whistles. It's just crazy. I thought, you know, the big leisure vans back in the day where you had the shag carpet, just to have carpeting in shag carpeting in a van, I thought was cool.
Yep. Yeah, it was. You know, I was just talking to my dad yesterday about this. We did a road trip in his old conversion van that he had. There's no back seats. He put a love seat in there.
Of course he did.
And my brother and I sat in the love seat from here in Chicago out to Niagara Falls.
Really? No seatbelts?
No seatbelt. Yep. We had a blanket on the floor if we didn't want to sit in the love seat anymore.
Right.
And that was about it.
And no internet back in the day?
No. Yeah. No internet. No cell phone.
You had to talk to your brother?
Talk to him. That's look crazy. Out the window. Figure something out.
Right. Talk to your parents.
Yep.
Have conversation. Maybe read a book.
Yeah.
Stop along the way. Have conversation.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe, you know, the whole Wi-Fi thing in cars, you know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure my kids will end up appreciating it, but
You would think. Do you talk to your kids and say, you know, I remember when they used to have rusted out floorboards and we had a love seat in the back of our conversion van?
You know, I like to think I'm not all that old, but I still am already going to, you know, when I was a kid, I'm definitely already pulling that out.
We all do that as parents.
Yep.
And we look at our kids and say, you have no idea. I mean, we think that.
Yeah. Exactly.
But we all do that. Corey Polka, the general manager from Real Wheels Corporation. What's your website they can go to?
It's RealWheels.com, RealWheels.
That is easy. And they can go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to sign up for that that Blazer, the Blackhawks Blazer.
Yep, and come down to the show and check it out.
Where is it? We're at the Chevy display. Where would we see it?
It's in the South Hall, the opposite hall of where we're at right now.
Got
it's in the Chevy Dealers and Blackhawks Family Fun Zone.
What happens at the fun zone? The Blackhawks Family Fun Zone?
They got to shoot the puck over there. They got some different things to set up for some photo ops and stuff like that.
Got it. Okay. We have Sammy on the line. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to Sammy Hagar. You want to talk to Sammy about anything while you're here?
Hey, you know, I'll stick around.
It's Sammy Hagar coming up next. It's 720 WGN. I am so happy we got a hold of this next guy because he had bad cell service. Sammy Hagar and the Circle will be in town along with Whitesnake and Night Ranger on Friday, August 14th at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. Tickets are on sale now. Let's welcome back to the show our guy, the Red Rocker. It is Sammy Hagar. How are you, brother?
Well, good. I'm good. Is this Pete?
Yes. Yes, it is.
You know, I thought maybe you owed me some money or something because you weren't picking up the phone. I tried to call you at 2:15 my time, and, you know, you were, like, acting like it wasn't, you know, wasn't making connection and doing all this stuff that I thought you were just trying to avoid me. You know what I mean? Like you owed me some money or something. That ain't true, is it?
We would never do that. You know how much I love you.
Hey, okay, good. So you're at a car show?
We are at the largest car show in North America, Sammy, and I'm sitting with the general manager from Real Wheels. He can convert anything. He took a Chevy Blazer and turned it into a Blackhawks car. Do you have any type of car? Do you need it to be juiced up? What do you need done?
Well, man, listen, I got a gang of cars, first of all.
Right.
As far as getting one juiced up, you know what? Yeah, I just bought from some guy in Ohio that I don't even know. I bought Ronnie Montrose's old 62 Thunderbird, and he said it needs restored, and he sent me some pictures and all this stuff. So I'm sending a truck to get it and bring it out here to the West Coast, and I'm going to restore it and, you know, make it a little more drivable and all that stuff because, you know, I have some of Ronnie's old amps and his guitars and stuff. And, you know, of course, Montrose was my first band, so I have a soft spot for it. So anyway, yeah, I just bought that. I could probably use something. What do you think I would need if it's been sitting outside in Ohio for a couple of years?
Corey, what do you think? What can he put on it?
Well, I'm sure you're probably looking to go with more of the classic theme, or are you trying to soup this thing up?
No, I think I want it to look really stock and nice, but it's going to be, you know, but a real driver. I'll probably put a newer engine in it, you know, a little small block that's beefed up a little bit. You know, it's got the big old 390 in there. That engine probably weighs more than most of my cars that I have now, like my LaFerrari. That engine probably weighs more than the whole damn car, wouldn't you think?
You're probably pretty close. Yeah, I forgot the LaFerrari over there.
What do you think with the rear-view mirrors? Can we turn those into guitars?
Yeah, we could definitely do the guitar theme or something like that and throw it on there.
No, I think, you know, I'm just going to paint it black with red interior, leave it an automatic, kind of set it down a little bit, get a little bit wider wheels, some better brakes, some better suspension stuff, a better drivetrain, but, you know, keep it looking pretty stock. That's what I'm planning. That's the plan on it. You know what I mean?
How many cars do you have, Sammy?
Oh, about 20.
What's your favorite that you're like, I love this car more than anything?
You know, I got to say, it just seems crazy, but I have this Alpina Z8 that they only made about 500 of them, and they only made them a couple years, and it's the most drivable car. It's fast, it's gorgeous, it's retro looking, and it stops and it starts and it goes around corners, but you know, I mean, the LaFerrari thing, I don't know if anybody even knows what that damn thing is, but it's the spookiest car I've ever driven in my life. Every time I get in it and take somebody for a drive, they just start laughing. You have to laugh because you just go, oh, my God, I'm scared to death. It's all I can do is you bring out this nervous laugh out of everybody. People get out of the car. I've taken Mikey, you know, Michael Anthony, and everybody I know for riding this car. But Dan Rather, when he interviewed me for his TV show, the big interview, I took him for a ride in the LaFerrari. So anybody that's ever saw that, they saw me take this. He was 80-something then, and you should have seen him, man. He was hanging in there. It was great. You know, 1,000 horsepower, about 2,600 pounds, 5 inches off the ground where your butt in your seat is 5 inches off the ground.
Gosh.
You know, 227 miles an hour. And, you know, we went about 120 or something in about less than 10 seconds, my God, about 5 seconds, and it stops just as fast. And he hung in there, man. It was was great. So that's kind of like my favorite car, but it's a big production to drive it. You know what I mean?
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. We're talking to Sammy Hagar. We're live at the auto show. We've been talking about beaters that you grew up with. Tell me about the car when you were a teenager. We were talking about how back in the day the floorboards used to rot out. You could see the road as you were driving. Tell me about your beater when you were growing up.
Well, oh my God, I had nothing but beaters. Let's start right there. But one of my favorite cars was a trippy car, and I would probably buy one if I found the right one again. I had a 57 DeSoto. Now, this thing was a sled. It was so big, I don't think it would fit in the garage I own right now. You couldn't shut the back door, I'm sure. Big old fins. It had a small Hemi, like a 392, I think is what those Hemis were. It wasn't, like, fast, you know. It was just a big old sled, and I lowered it all down because it had these torsion bars in the front. You know, I don't know if you guys know about those, to where if you lowered it, you didn't have to mess with the springs. You just twisted a bolt, and the wheels would flare out. They would go outwards and it wear the inside of your tires out, but it would drop the front end. And I don't know. It was just a fun car. I took that thing and ran it on dirt roads. I'd do anything with it. It was, by the time I sold it, it was basically junk. But that was one of my favorite old Jeep beater cars that, because no one else had one. You know, everybody else is driving Fords and Chevys and stuff.
Right.
And the Mopars, maybe, but it sure wasn't a DeSoto. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
When did you write "I Can't Drive 55"? Were you in one of your cars and you came up with the concept, or how did that happen?
I was in a rental car. Listen, Pete, this is a sad story. I was coming back from a vacation with my family. We went to Africa, went on safari, went to Egypt, all these exotic places I never would ever go to tour, you know. And so I said, I just want to see the world a little bit. So I took a month, went and did that 24-hour flight back from Nairobi to landed finally in upstate New York in Albany, where I had a log cabin in Lake Placid for some reason. And so I got in a rental car at 2:00 in the morning, and they had changed the speed limit while I was gone. And I was going about 62 on a road all by myself. There was nobody. I mean, I had my people with me, but I mean, there was no cars on the road. Some cop was hiding in the bushes and trees, and he comes pulling out. I said, "Dude, I was only going 62." He goes, "We give tickets for 62 around here." I'm going, "Man, I'm so burnt, man. Just give me the ticket and I'll leave." And he going, "You know, the speed limit is 55. And I said, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's 55. And I said, "Oh, man." And I looked at my wife and I said, "I can't drive 55. And then I started laughing. and then I said, "There's a song right there." Everyone thinks that was a gimmick song. It was a friggin' protest song, all right? And I'm still protesting 65 and 75 and right. Even 85, I'm protesting it.
Of course.
Damn.
We're talking with Sammy Hagar. Sammy Hagar and the Circle will be in town along with Whitesnake and Night Ranger on Friday, August 14th. I'm looking at the set list from San Antonio. You mix new stuff with Van Halen. Jason Bonham, of course, is on drums. You do a Led Zeppelin cover, rock and roll. I mean, you're killing it this year.
Well, it's so cool. The Circle, our whole premise is that we play something from all the bands we've all been in. You know, and so,
right.
So it's great. So Mikey and I together, of course, we play plenty of Van Halen, and we put, you know, we play one Led Zeppelin song, but we switch them up every now and then. It depends on how long we play. The other night in San Antonio, we were only allowed to play 75 minutes, but we played a little bit longer, but we were only asked to play 75 minutes. But, you know, usually we play 2 hours, and we get, you know, five new songs, a couple Montrose tunes, a Chickenfoot song, early Sammy, pre-Van Halen, then some
right.
Van Hagar era, and then post-Van Halen, you know, Mos Tequila and songs like that, and Little White Lion, and then it's the best set list in the world. I challenge I'm telling you, if the Beatles got back together, they wouldn't have a better set list than this, because they'd just be playing all Beatles songs. You know what I mean? Who wants to hear all Beatles songs? I'm joking. But you know what I mean? It's like we have a really deep history that we can go into. And when we made our new record last year, the Circle, we made this album called Space Between. It actually had a first number one album. It was our first album, you know, our first studio album, and it went to number one in three categories, and number four in overall, you know, the Billboard Top 100. It was such a
right.
surprise for us. It was fantastic. But before I would do vocals that were higher, you know, higher songs that would have to be my energy up, like Trust Fund Baby and
yeah.
some of those songs, I would go out in my LaFerrari and I would take a spin you know, up the road and back and get come back at this thing. They go, "Woo, I'm ready!" Like, wow.
Well, I love you.
I'm not stupid. I know how to do this stuff, okay?
Well, I love you, brother. And listen, you have a day off before your show here in Chicago, and I want you and Mikey to come in studio and hang out.
Okay, but wait a minute. But you got to order out from Peace Pizza from you know, Rick.
I know.
Rick Nielsen. Right.
I know Rick, and I know Billy. They'll send up Peace Pizza for you.
Okay, I'll be there. I told Rick, I saw him the other day, I said, as soon as I hit Chicago, buddy, I'm going, it's the best damn pizza in America. I love it. It's
so
better
good.
Than New York pizza, better than San Francisco pizza. Okay, I said it. Now I got it off my chest, okay?
I love it. Sammy
okay,
Hagar.
Go
Sammy.
Down. I'm going to tell everybody, though, you got to go down to Jewel Osco because they have Sammy's Peach Bar Run. Go down there and wipe them out, will you?
All right, brother. We got to run. Thank you so much.
Bye.
We'll see you in August. That is Sammy Hagar. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.